about. So easy. You gotta
put it in perspective. I'd like to do a commercial for pistachios.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Have you tried listening to the always entertaining and frequently informative Kevin and Bean Show?
Come on. Have you tried listening to the always entertaining and sometimes informational?
There is no justification whatsoever for what you're doing.
Hey, everybody. It's Kevin here from the Kevin and Bean Show, and I'm... Hey, everybody. It's Kevin here from the Kevin and Bean Show, and I'm here to talk about a life's...
Wow. That was not fun to hear.
I mean, if they start smelling money in the water, they're going to start coming out of the woodwork.
I so agree with Kevin.
It's one of my guilty pleasures. I wouldn't claim heterosexuality.
Nice work, Kevin.
And now...
Well, let's get started with today's show.
Our feature presentation.
It's a long weekend, so I come to do it.
Here we go again. meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Hey, party people, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, and it must be the 10th of January right now. Thanks for tuning in for a brand new week. By the way, before we get started, how about a pair of tickets for you to the Monster Energy AMA Supercross? It's coming up on Saturday, January 22nd at Dodger Stadium. You can win them free right now at 1-800-520-1067. First five callers that want to go, don't forget, $20 super value tickets are back. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.
Wow.
Hey, Kevin.
We open our mouths and just start throwing stuff out. First thing.
I know we do.
First
I
thing.
We do.
Love it.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
You? How you doing?
You know, I've been here all day, since about midnight working.
You were so engrossed in your work, you didn't hear the show start.
Sometimes I just get too caught up.
I want to get Dave the King of Mexico to, I think this would be a very, very funny video for KevinAndBean.com. I want him to stand in the hall with the video camera, and then every day in that final minute before you arrive, just videotape you running down the hall to get into the studio, and then let's just do a montage of all of them together.
That doesn't sound very exciting.
It does to me.
Come on.
And put a little time code on the bottom.
Because sometimes I can walk at a normal pace, just barely.
And then today?
There are other times like today where I have to literally, you should start it at the car if you're going to do that, because I have to literally close the door and run.
Okay.
We can do that.
I have to run through the parking lot.
And this wouldn't be a deal where it would be like we would be sending Dave out and you'd have to hang around for 30 minutes.
I mean,
you're pretty consistent. He knows that you're going to be arriving within 90 seconds of when you're supposed to be on the air every day.
It also wouldn't be like he has to hang out and do it for 3 or 4 weeks to get enough video.
To get tape, right? Exactly.
Yeah, it's kind of sad that way.
All right, here's a great story before we get into today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show. We talked a little bit a few months ago about this teacher in Brooklyn who was fired after, I guess a maintenance man walked in on her and she and another teacher were having a lesbian sex romp in the classroom. One of the teachers
Wait
had...
Wait a minute, were there any kids in there?
No, the kids were down at the assembly. There was an assembly, so it was free period for the teachers.
So what's the problem?
Well, that's what I would think, too. So the Spanish teacher, who, by the way, pretty hot... 30 years old, is in a darkened classroom at James Madison High School, and, they're partially unclothed, and they're going at it like good lesbians do. I mean, you can't have a lesbian sex romp without actual, lesbians and sex and romping. So
sure. All
that's happening, right? But now it's back in the news because I guess it's in front of the school board or something like that, and now her reason for why she was naked in the classroom with another teacher has come to light. And I think it's worth considering because – we just thought she was a sex-crazed lesbian maniac, right?
Yeah.
In fact, she says the reason she ended up naked and sweaty with a colleague on a classroom floor was because she was being treated for low blood sugar.
All right.
Low blood sugar.
That's how you...
Is what...
I'm sorry. Was the colleague treating her for low blood sugar?
Yeah. He's getting that blood flowing.
That is the euphemism. Yes, Lisa. I'm treating you for low blood sugar. So witnesses, including a safety agent and a maintenance man, a high school janitor, maintenance man, said that they had walked in on the duo and that the one teacher was naked on the floor with her legs kneeled like in the birthing position and the other teacher was attending to that.
Well, attending, sure. That's a good word.
Come on.
Hey, you got to give that other teacher credit. He probably didn't want to. Or she probably didn't want to.
Yeah.
But, she did it because the other woman needed it.
So they claim the teachers being fired because their conduct was unprofessional and outrageous, which I don't see that.
That's
here's my favorite part. There is no possible medical non-sexual assistance that a partially naked person could possibly be rendering to another naked person in the position described as a school administrator.
I'd like to do some research on that and find out.
I'm very sad that they fired the teachers, though, because, you know, look, kids got to learn, right? You can't shield them from life forever. I mean, that's the real world out there, right?
In that classroom, necessarily, but there weren't any kids in there.
I do. I mean, you know, ever since the famous Twinkie defense for murder, I do love when a client gets together with his or her attorney and says, all right, what are we going to come up with?
Let's try this.
I got it. Low blood sugar.
And then, you know, there's no possible way. Like, your first thought would be, no, what else? But sometimes people just go, yeah, good. Let's go with low blood sugar. That's why we were doing the
chili dog.
Exactly right. I don't know. Maybe just next time, you know, have a Snickers bar in your purse or something like that. There's other ways maybe to attend to that.
You don't know anything about blood sugar.
I don't. That's true.
Well, you can't do it that way. You have to lay on your back.
Dirty Sanchez.
And you have to do that as well.
All right. So,
or
Cleveland
steamer.
Oh, right. Will that help?
It helps a lot, yeah.
Okay. Well, I do love the ladies involved in this story, so well done.
Rusty.
Trombone.
I don't think they can do that one.
No, you need a guy for that one.
You can't do that with just lesbians. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Oh, God, I'm bored already.
How dare you? We are going to talk about a guy who has decided that he needs to raise some money.
Yeah.
Take care of a lion. Is that right? Do I have that story right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sort of. He runs a wildlife rescue center, basically. Yeah. Many acres, many animals, and it's very expensive. It's nonprofit and privately funded, so he's trying to call awareness to it. We've talked about the story, but I think today we may be talking to the guy who's living in a lion pen for 31 days for the entire month of January. He's going to be living with these lions round the clock. And the goal is you go to the website and you click on the camera so you can watch him eventually be eaten, which is going to happen.
Right, or has.
And maybe while you're there, you donate a little money through the PayPal link.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And we've called. We have the number. We've called many times. And we think we can get through today, but we've been having some trouble.
Which is concerning, right?
A bit.
A little bit.
If he's living with a lion.
Can't hear the dude.
Sure.
I will tell you, every time you dial it up and for whatever reason the video camera is not streaming video of him alive in the cage of lions, you do wonder if you just missed it.
That certainly is one of those things where even people who don't jump to the worst conclusion sort of have to. You know what I mean? Because he's putting himself in a position.
Yeah. It's a reasonable conclusion that he'll get eaten by a lion.
Yeah. It is. And God bless him for trying, but we all have we have an office pool. How long he'll last.
Yes, we do.
How long he'll last.
If Kevin doesn't walk in the first 30 seconds of the show, it's not reasonable to assume he's been eaten by a lion.
Right, exactly.
But this guy's living in a pen with lions, so I think it's fair.
Right. And by the way, I believe, I don't have my sheet in front of me, but I believe my guess was the 11th, which would be tomorrow. Need him to go now to win the bet. Right. We're also going to talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Okay.
Catch up on all the celebrity gossip. Love that. Going to talk about Chloe and Lamar. They've got a new TV reality show.
Wow.
Oh, thank God. I was hoping there was a way I could see more of their fascinating lives.
Lamar Odom from the Lakers and Chloe Kardashian from the Beasts. Or actually,
what do you imagine
the Beast.
Their grocery bill must be between the two of them.
Oh, all the candy he eats and all the everything she eats?
Yeah. I mean, he burns it off, at least. He's a professional athlete. Those guys eat crazy amounts of food, and she obviously eats crazy amounts of food. I can't even imagine how much they must go through.
We're going to talk to our former sports guy, Matt Money Smith, about the crazy weekend, this past weekend of football.
Well, there's nobody who picked them all, I'll tell you that.
That's for sure. Were they showing the Seattle game where you guys were? Because I saw one where Seattle won. It must have been a repeat. Must have been from last year before.
They were definitely showing it. It was definitely one of the great upsets in NFL history, that's for sure.
And the BCS championship is tonight as well.
Yeah.
College. We have a great internet roundup. I got to tell you, this may be one of the best. It is spectacular. It's too much.
Is it the best internet roundup 2011?
I attend South Park.
Sorry, I thought I had it up. Say that again. Give me a beat. All right, go ahead.
Is it the best internet roundup 2011?
Yes, I would say so. Dr. Bowen is a friend of ours.
Yes.
And Dr. Bowen was very upset about Dr. Murray.
He's on fire.
Dr. Conrad Murray, the guy who's on trial, of course, for killing Michael Jackson, allegedly. Mm-hmm. Dr. Mo, very unhappy. I mean,
well, I think sometimes you take it personally if somebody is making your entire profession look bad. And I think that's what's going on here, is he's incensed by that being considered practicing medicine, what Dr. Murray did.
Yeah, or and any of the explanations that have come out so far.
Right.
Just anger him to no end. And I think if we don't give Dr. Mo a chance to vent, he might kill.
Yeah. This is what our show is all about, is trying people through the media rather than in the courtroom.
Right, of course. Conspiracy theories. Always love these people. Love conspiracy theories. So there's a TV show called Conspiracy Theories. And apparently it's been disappearing from people's DVRs.
Well, the government doesn't want you to see what Jesse Ventura, former WWF wrestler, has found out about the Kennedy assassination, Kevin.
Right.
So Wait a minute.
Yeah. It's a TV show where they deal with conspiracy theories. And it's been disappearing just randomly from people's DVRs. So they have it recorded, and then they go back to watch. Oh, it's not there.
It's the government, man.
Wow.
That's what they do.
I didn't know they could do that.
If they can kill President Kennedy, they can certainly remove a show from your DVR. It's not that hard.
And if you have a TiVo or something like that, there's a camera in there and a microphone,
yes.
People.
Yes.
Did not know that.
Do you understand what's going on with our government?
That's no more attending to your low blood sugar in the TV in front of the TV,
right.
Lisa.
Right.
Somebody's watching.
And we're also going to talk to comedian Jay Moore.
Jay Morris.
Because we, we did some picks on Friday for the football weekend, and I don't know if we got any of them right.
I think he was. I thought he was 2-2. But
oh, was he? Okay.
I didn't have the list in front of me, but it'll be interesting to hear his take on what happened. Boy, how excited is he going to be after the way his Jets came back in the final seconds?
No
My
kidding.
God,
the Jets had a great game against Indianapolis and knocked them out. This is a really weird playoff season because most of the teams that people really want to watch are getting knocked out.
Yeah. Yes.
So then you got your Seattle, who, let's face it, that was their game.
That was their game, yeah.
So they're going to play whoever, being who they play.
Bears.
10
o'clock Sunday.
So they're going to get knocked off by the Bears, and that's it. You know, but they knocked out New Orleans, which is a team a lot of people want to see.
We'll talk about
it
more later.
They're not going to beat the Bears.
Because they beat them already once this season, you mean?
No, Bean. Hope springs eternal. So anyway, we got that coming up as well on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break, and we will come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat, and that's...
Hey.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 5:49.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Incubus on the way. Also, Black Keys, who were so great on Saturday Night Live over the weekend, by the way. Blink 182, 30 Seconds to Mars, all coming up. Ralph Garman, how are you, man?
Bean Baxter, how are you?
I got to tell you, I'm with you on your criticism for Saturday Night Live most weeks. It is a very inconsistent program. Like the Jeff Bridges episode. I was so excited about Jeff Bridges. Terrible episode. He was terrible. The sketches were terrible. Not funny, not good.
Yes.
Jim Carrey, who I hate... Great episode.
Really?
And I'm wondering if it has to do with the fact that he's got a background in doing, you know, sketch comedy and things like that. I mean, I wonder if that makes a huge difference for the host. But he was tremendous.
Imagine it has to, but he's why I didn't watch.
Yeah, I know. The same way.
Believe me, I know.
Yeah, they
but
really don't
really,
have me.
It was really, really, really funny. So I
but the greatest
been more
hosts
either.
They've ever had haven't had backgrounds in sketch comedy, like Alec Baldwin and Steve Martin and those guys.
So. John Hamm is a good example, too, I guess.
I think it's just
I don't know.
Catch-as-catch-can over there. Sometimes they write a funny sketch. Most times they don't.
Well, anyway, if anyone T-voted and didn't watch it because they were afeard of Jim Carrey like we all were, check it out. It's good.
You talk out of his butt.
He did not.
Oh. He made funny faces, though.
Oh, I bet he did.
Come on.
He's a rubber-faced comedian.
That's right.
I read it in the paper.
That's true, too.
Yeah. Let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Petra Nemkova.
Yes.
Supermodel. She's off the market, fellas.
What?
You lose. You snooze, you lose.
I was just about to...
I know. You were just about to call her up, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would do everything to her. I would wreck that chick.
She's engaged to British actor Jamie Bellman.
No, he's not right for her.
I don't know who he is.
I don't either.
BBC says they became engaged after only 8 months together. Well, I bet they did. I bet Jamie bought a ring on the way to the first date. Apparently, they're going to get married sometime in the next couple months. So, you have to remember, Petra was that famous survivor of the tsunami that hit Thailand.
Yes.
That's right.
Back in Christmas Day 2004.
Oh, that's right. That's
claim to fame for her.
That's where she lost her fiancé, right?
Yes. So, look out, Jamie.
Well,
it's her fault.
I don't think she had a black widow.
That's all I got.
Oh my god,
that's a hell of a curse.
I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, it looks good, but then when you get there, next thing you know, death. Death is waiting for you.
Wow, the vagina of death.
Apparently, it is the entranceway to hell.
but isn't it almost worth it?
I'm going to go with yes.
Do I have an incurable disease? Then yes.
Otherwise, God, she's hot.
I might want to stick around for a while. Congratulations to a 30 Rock cast member, Jane Krakowski. She apparently is carrying her first child with her fiancé, British designer Robert Godley. So congratulations. Also, congratulations to Orlando Bloom. His wife, Miranda Kerr, just gave birth to a baby boy last Thursday morning. No word yet on what they're going to call the boy, but... That's going to be honked up.
Yeah. I hope.
Any baby of Orlando and Miranda can't come out Steve.
That's Does true. It say in the article which one carried the child?
Oh, because he's very feminine.
Victoria and David Beckham apparently also planning to have yet another child.
Really?
Well, at least we know he shows up for some events and performs. He's not always on the sidelines injured. Against occasionally he... Is able to get the job done.
They put him in the game.
She took out her implants, right?
Yeah,
she's yes.
Yes.
Why. Yeah.
Yes.
She's ruined.
Take it easy, Bean. Bean's personally offended.
Because she should be in prison instead of walking around flaunting her lack of implants.
Wow.
They already have a trio of boys, Brooklyn, Romeo, and Cruz. It sounds like military code when you're in the walkie-talkies.
It does.
Roger that, Brooklyn, Romeo, Cruz. Roger that, over and out.
Does the very manly David Beckham have a statement, Ralph?
Yeah. I'm just very happy to be having a child, and I look forward to raising him as the same man I am, which is... Ow, I hurt my ankle. I have to lay down. Goodbye.
Wuss. Motley Crue bassist Nikki Sixx and Denise Richards have split up. Oh, I thought they were going to last forever. They started dating after their respective marriages fell apart, and... been about 6 months, I guess, and now it's all over, so it's a shame.
It's like if you're a rock star, it's kind of hard to grasp the whole this is going to last forever thing.
Yeah.
You know, just because you have so many options.
I think it's hard to grasp this will last till Tuesday.
Yeah.
Usually it's just, what are we doing right now?
Right.
And who's holding?
Until I catch my plane.
It's also hard to get too excited about staying with Denise Richards any longer than you have to.
She's still lovely. Still an attractive
woman. Oh, she's pretty, but
she is.
Super hot, yeah. But then she opens her mouth.
Right. And the next thing you know,
yeah,
you're on the road.
Words.
This is disturbing on so many levels. I think we are in for a long haul with this show.
Uh-oh.
Thursday night's premiere episode of Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
Highest rated episode ever.
All right.
For the series. 8.4 million viewers.
Excellent.
Did you say 8.4?
8.4 million viewers. Dude. I mean, in terms of cable numbers.
Is that like four or five times
it's
normal?
It's like a Super Bowl.
Wow.
Yeah.
Love it.
Highest rated series episode ever in MTV history, by the way.
Oh,
not just Jersey Shore.
Excellent.
Insane.
You'll be happy to know that the fourth season's already in the works, and apparently they're going back to South Beach. Because they have to film two a year now, and they can't wait for summer to roll around, so they'll film South Beach in the winter, and then they'll film in Jersey in the summertime, so we get a couple of them. So that'll be good. Speaking of summertime, wintertime shows, did you catch any of the wintertime wipeout? Winter wipeout?
I love that show so much.
It's really funny.
Yeah.
Some great stuff on there. And the luck continues for Ted Williams, luckiest homeless guy on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Things have really turned around for this guy. He, of course, is the man with the golden voice. You may have seen on the YouTube video that started this phenomenon, or you've seen him interviewed on television. But he is a guy who his life was out of control with drugs and alcohol. A couple years ago, he cleaned his act up. He was a radio announcer. He's got one of those voices that just is like spun gold.
Yeah. Mm.
Just a remarkable baritone. And he's been getting all kinds of job offers. He's going to be working for the Cleveland Cavaliers as an announcer, but also he's been inundated with offers from dentists because his teeth are all jacked up. They're going to fix his teeth for free.
Oh, my gosh.
Psychiatrists have been contacting him for some free counseling sessions if he needs to work through some stuff. Even pro bono legal advice has been coming his way.
Wow.
Where it is, we may even see him in a commercial in the Super Bowl this year.
Really?
Yeah. So.
And then he's going to be our next president?
I think that's the
What's
next
happening here?
Anyway, Ted Williams is on a roll. good for him.
Wow.
And I thought when he left baseball that he would never really get going again, but apparently it's all turned around for him. He did become black, but other than that, not a lot going on.
How'd they get his head back on?
That's what I was wondering.
Staples.
Okay.
Yeah. Hit the easy button.
Nice.
Betty nice. White. Betty White has a new best friend.
Stop with the bell.
See, this is why we may have to address the bell situation again. We talked about this at the end of last year.
What's going on with my sweet Betty?
Bean, the bell speaks for all of us,
mm-hmm.
not just you. So you got to take our opinion into account.
But imagine the skills she's got in the bedroom.
Zero.
She's been honing them since the early 1900s.
She has forgotten anything she ever learned about sex.
What's Betty up to?
She turned to powder within 30 seconds of beginning.
She's got a new best friend. She's been spending a lot of time with her new buddy, and that friend is Slash. From Guns N' Roses.
What the hell?
Is this Mad Libs?
No. Apparently, the two of them have been hanging out quite a bit. They're very active at animal charities, and they've become good friends and have bonded through the volunteer work and now are seen hanging out, having meals together quite often, Betty White and Slash.
Isn't he recently single?
I think he is.
Slash? Oh, yeah, but he's putting work in, man.
I think, actually, he got back together with his wife.
Oh, did he really?
So he's cheating on her with Betty White?
I don't think
I that's
maybe that's the only woman she lets him see.
Yeah. Oh, you can hang out with her all you want.
I feel safe. That's fine. And Portia de Rossi apparently has turned down the producers of Dancing with the Stars. The wife of Ellen DeGeneres, according to In Touch magazine, was offered the chance to be the first contestant on the show ever to dance with a same-sex partner. So Portia would have been dancing with one of those smoking hot dancing broads from Dancing with the Stars.
Yes,
and
yes.
And she said no. No, thank
no,
you.
No,
no, thank you, please.
That's a strange offer, don't you think?
We'll let you dance like a lesbian.
I know, but
you're on the show.
Just because she's a lesbian doesn't mean that she can't dance
doesn't
with
want
a
to
male
dance
partner.
With men, right.
Yeah. That was probably her objection, too.
That's bizarre.
She probably doesn't, though. She's all cranky about men and stuff, being all lesbian and stuff.
Remember that interview tour that Ralph told us about where
she wouldn't be
interviewed by men?
Wouldn't talk to male journalists.
Yeah.
Because we're all smelly and have penises.
Because they're all drooly.
Yeah. Well, all of the above is true.
She should stop being so hot. She doesn't want people to drool on her. Let's take a look at celebrity birthdays, shall we? Singer Rod Stewart is 66 years old today. Former boxing champ George Foreman is also 62. Kurt Kirkwood of the Meat Puppets is 52 years old today. Jermaine Clement is 37 years old. He, of course, famously of the Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah.
There, it came to me eventually. It's a Monday. Slow start. Chris Smith of Criss Cross, make you want to
jump.
He's 32 years old. And Brad Roberts of Crash Test Dummies.
Yeah!
Last week we had the harmonica player, I think, from Crash Test Dummies. Today, the actual lead singer of Crash Test Dummies, Mr. Brad Roberts of Crash Test Dummies, celebrates his
birthday. So the dummies are still on the list.
47 years old today.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's their big hit.
Let's play that. Let's play that for them sometime today.
I don't think we have
Let's pull Dramarama once. Let's pull that song out and plug in Crash Test Dummies. Really, who would complain? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Well, I know it's the second week of January already. Thank you for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Most of us did not make a New Year's resolution to live with lions for the entire month of January, but that is just what our man James Jablon did. We told you about him when we first got back, and he's still in there. You have the office pool, by the way, about what our predictions were, Kevin?
He did. I do.
Because he's going to be living in this pen for the full 31 days of January, and he's trying to raise awareness and raise money for this wildlife center that he runs. He needs, I don't know, $100,000 a year or something like that just to feed all these animals and maintain the place, and he's running out of money.
There's a fenced enclosure where two African lions named Lee and Ed live, and he's going to live in the enclosure with them. Wow. And there's a camera up, so you can watch it online.
And one of them's pretty young, right? Didn't we find that out?
A one-year-old male, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, this isn't like a 20-year-old with no teeth. This is the kind that can really rip you apart.
So here's the office pool. Alex, a producer, said that he would not make it past today, the 10th.
Okay.
I guess tomorrow, the 11th. Bean picked the 14th. Lisa went with the 20th. Psycho went with the 21st. And the King of Mexico went to the 28th. No one said he'd make it all month. For whatever reason, death, you know, getting your head bit off, who knows what's going to happen.
Well,
but you're looking at the cam now, is what's the...
Well, I see lions, I see no guy, and that concerns me, but it could be because maybe he had to be out of camera range to get on the phone to talk to us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, because James Jablon joins us now.
Oh.
How are you, Mr. Jablon?
I'm doing good. How you fellas doing?
Very good, thank you. How's it going so far?
So far, so good. I'm living with lions, and we had no problems so far, having a good time.
Good. Now, I remember at the time we first saw the story right at the beginning of the year, sir, you said that you have, they recognize you as their caretaker, but you've never spent a lot of up close and personal time with the Lions like you're doing now.
Yeah, it's different, you know, to be on the outside feeding them and giving them water and whatnot, and then living with them.
Yeah.
It's a different energy. You know, I have to behave differently. I have to live according to their rules, but you know, as long as you stay aware, it's really not that dangerous, I don't believe.
You say you sleep on hay next to them and you eat when they eat.
That's right. I'm doing the best I can to kind of blend into the pride. So
sure.
I eat in the evenings when they eat. I sleep in the same area. I have built myself a little section where if I need to be alone or perhaps they seem uncomfortable around me, I can go off to as well. But
okay.
If they start playing too rough or whatnot, I got a little place to set aside.
All right.
Okay, I hope the answer to this question is yes. Are you afraid of the Lions?
Oh, no, not at all.
You're not afraid at all?
No, they're great animals, and if you know what's what, if you pay attention, you just keep your wits about you.
I see.
Then you just have no issue. It's much more important for us to raise money for the Wildlife Rehabilitation of Hernando, which is the name of our foundation.
All right, what's going on there now? It sounds like somebody's getting a little bit angry. You all right?
Well, Lee and Ed, sometimes, if they got something that they're playing with or whatnot, they will, try to give each other a signal that, that they're not happy, they're not pleased. And sometimes, I think right now, they're just fighting over a little something that they're playing with right now.
Oh, I see. All right.
All right, well, stay away from that. Be careful.
What are they playing with?
I think it's an iPod.
An iPod?
Yeah, I think they're arguing over what music they're listening to.
Is that right?
Ed is the young one.
Right.
He's the young male. Apparently he's listening to that G6 song.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fly Like a G6, sure.
Fly Like a G6, and she is not pleased with that. She's more of a Taylor Swift.
Oh, that sounds like tension in the pride.
Got country versus, more urban feel.
Yeah, you don't weigh in on that, do you?
I don't. I try to stay out of
good.
It.
Good. Okay.
I just sit here, keep my own mind of my own beeswax.
All right.
More
good.
Or less.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. So 31 days is the plan. You're going to be there for the whole month of January, and you think that that will raise you enough money that you won't have to do this again?
I'm hoping so. I'm hoping it'll raise the profile of the organization, also raises Ed. No, seriously, leave her alone. No, Ed. I'll tell you, he's young. He likes to play a lot, and sometimes he plays too rough, and I feel bad for her. I don't want her getting hurt.
Sure, of course. Of course not. Yeah.
No, look, put the Wii down. You are not going to play that. You are lying. You have no opposable thumbs.
You have a Wii?
Yeah, I got him a Wii just to keep him occupied. There's a game in there where they hunt down a gazelle. They seem to like that pretty good.
How about that?
Hey,
I bet they would.
This is ridiculous. Don't make me come over there, Ed. He doesn't know that he's a big, strong lion. He thinks I'm still in charge.
Sure.
Don't you, Ed? Good boy. You're a good boy. You're a good boy. No! Go, good boy! No! Go, good boy! No, good boy!
Are you all right? I don't like that.
Go, good boy!
James?
Go, good boy!
James, are you okay?
Go, good boy! Good boy!
James?
Good boy! Good boy! Okay, good boy. Good boy.
All right, sounds like you got him calmed down.
Good boy, get the first aid kit. Good boy.
What's going on, dude?
I'm trying to get him to fetch a first aid kit.
What are you talking about?
I'm trying to get him to go get the first aid kit.
What happened, James? We couldn't tell what was going on.
I got no legs.
No legs.
I got no legs.
Well, get the hell out of there.
I can't. I got no legs.
Is he supposed to fly?
What do you want from me?
Now you're bleeding, though. Now you're really a target.
All right. I'm just going to pack some leaves in there. That'll stop the bleeding.
Okay, good.
I'm going to roll around the dirt a little bit, get a clot going.
Well, maybe you should think about getting out of the cage.
Maybe you should think about getting me some goddamn help.
Well, do you need to call somebody or what's going on?
Yeah, but I'm on the phone with you.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Well, this is unfortunate. We're a little bit of an impasse, aren't we?
Oh, I'm getting cold. Oh, it's cold. It's cold in here.
Uh-oh.
This is sad.
This isn't
all
good.
Right.
Oh.
You're going to be okay, or you're going to die. One of the two. I don't
Mommy?
Know.
Mommy? Mommy, is that you?
Oh, no. We
Mommy?
Lost him.
That is my mom. Hey, Mom. Call 911.
Is your mom there?
Yeah. She's deep, though. Mom! 911! No! No, not Reno 911. 911! I got to hang up now.
All right.
I understand. Yeah, good luck to you, sir.
Can
good
you
luck.
Call somebody?
No, we got to go into something else.
All right, keep doing radio.
You are listening to the Kevin Bean Show. Former sports guy for this program, Matt Money Smith, nationally syndicated radio sports guy, is going to be joining us in about 45 minutes or so to break down this past weekend's NFL action and a look ahead toward next week, too. Right now, though, like we do every Monday, Harvey Levin, TMZ.com, the website of record, and TMZ Television, check your local listings, joins us on the show. Hey, Harvey, how are you, man?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Hi. Thank you for joining us. We all had a little bit of a depressing weekend watching that news unfold out of Tucson, and that's something that I was a little bit surprised to see you handled on TMZ. It's not the type of area you generally get into, but what'd you do on the site, and what kind of reaction did you get, Harvey?
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, we do politics. I mean, we've been doing politics now for a couple of years, and to me, this is a political story. I mean, it has to do with the climate of the country and all sorts of things. And so, I mean, we did a lot of things, but the most interesting thing to me, we put 6 polls up. And, you know, what we try and do when stuff like this happens, you know, is take people's temperature. And one of the things people talked about was whether Sarah Palin is partly to blame for this,
right,
because of putting the bullseye on the district and talking about not retreating but reloading. Interesting. We asked, is Palin partly to blame? 213,000 votes so far. 54% say no.
So
46, yes.
About 50-50. All right.
Incites more violence. The Democrats, the Republicans, or the Tea Party? Tea Party, 49%.
That's because 100% of Tea Party members have guns.
Well, but you know what? That having a gun does not necessarily mean that you're inciting violence. I mean, you could.
True.
Have a gun, but, you know, I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah. It is interesting.
More threatening to America, domestic policy or foreign policy? Domestic policy, 66% of the people.
Yeah.
Should automatic weapons be outlawed? 66% of the people say yes. And this is interesting. Violent revolution, is it ever okay? Remember, that's the way the country started, right?
Right.
77% say no.
Wow, that is kind of interesting. But I will tell you, though, that in the Words Have Consequences department, there are a lot of people who, especially in recent months, have been talking about, you know, if we don't get what we want at the ballots, let's get what we wanted with bullets. You know, you've heard that from politicians, you've heard that from talk radio hosts, and I guess that's what people are grappling with now, is to find out if that kind of talk does lead crazy people to do crazy things. And man, did you just hear the widest variety of opinions from, yeah, there's a direct correlation to, no, you can't stop a crazy person from doing something, and you can't blame somebody else for it either.
Crazy people are going to do crazy things.
Right.
But when you have leaders, and I'm not, believe me, I'm not talking about Palin, because this has gotten, I mean, look at our own gubernatorial race in California and our Senate race. It was disgusting.
Yeah.
But when you get people talking in such a vitriolic, nasty way where they're just getting unbelievable, that, you know, what you do is you tell people who are the fringe, who are, you know, the weak links, you're almost telling them it's okay. And it's not that they're inciting violence, but what you're doing is you're triggering people by saying, you know what, the hatred I feel is okay, because
right,
other people feel that hatred too.
You're absolutely right. You become desensitized to hateful discourse, which seems to be the norm anymore.
It's really unbelievable. This whole thing is really, really unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I mean, for folks who didn't hear, and I can't imagine you could miss it, a crazy guy went out in Tucson to a Safeway where a congressman was appearing and shot 20 people, killing 6 of them. The congressman's still in the hospital with a bullet through the brain. But, yeah, I guess he's in court today for the first time. He's 22 years old, and he's crazy.
But I mean, I do think it's a huge mistake to write this off and say, hey, it's just a crazy guy. You know, crazy people do crazy things. It happens all the time. It happened in Columbine. You can't look at it. I mean, there's a reason this happened in Tucson. I mean, even people in Arizona are saying that state is probably the worst state. I mean, it's hard to believe it's worse than California.
Have you ever been to Tucson? It sucks. It really sucks.
I mean, but you know, the political discourse there is awful, but it's been pretty damn awful in California too.
Yeah, it's not times the founding fathers would come back and be pleased with. That's for sure.
I don't think so.
Although they, I mean, you know, one thing I learned from watching the John Adams miniseries, I mean, they were not polite either. I mean, they definitely spoke their mind back then, but
they totally spoke their mind. But you know what? And listen, and it's not like there's never been violence until now. But you know, this is a different time, and when you have television and you can basically corral everybody, and you basically can send a message of hatred out to, you know, when John Adams spoke, he spoke to 200 people. When Lincoln spoke, he spoke to 500 people. when people now speak, they speak to millions and millions of people. And it's basically saying, give me your crazy and, you know, let me talk to you right now. So there's a different responsibility.
All right, I have one follow-up question on this topic, and that is, what does Lindsay Lohan think about it?
Well, Lindsay Lohan reflected at the Lakers game last night.
And thank God she was in the front row at the Lakers, right? Because nobody is a bigger basketball fan or deserves that more than Lindsay Lohan.
Well, you know, come on. I mean, at least, listen, if she were in some hotel room, you know, doing something bad, at least, you know, she's trying. And that's good.
All right. So
now, the problem, guys, is Venice. The problem is now they're advertising in Venice. They're saying, oh, you can live two blocks from Lindsay Lohan. There are these kind of flea bag apartments.
Oh, I'm sure those people love it.
They have signs up. They have electronic signs up saying, move here. We're two blocks from Lindsay.
Oh, my God. Jeez. Psycho Mike already lives there. He'll take on some borders.
Have Lindsay and Samantha Ronson got together for their welcome home date yet, Harvey?
Well, I mean, it's funny. There's a rumor that there's video of a car, and that it's being pitched like Lindsay Lohan and Sam Ronson going on a date. And, it could be the Loch Ness Monster in this car. There's no way you can see anything.
Yeah.
But, so they're just, you know, this is just bizarre that she moves next door to her.
Hey,
you know?
It was a total coincidence, Harvey.
She didn't know.
She didn't know where she lived.
She didn't know.
All right. In our remaining moments with the great Harvey Levin from TMZ.com,
sign a confidentiality agreement saying you won't write a book. Well, she's negotiating to write a tell-all book, so she wouldn't sign it.
God.
So Catherine won't give her the condo. So what she did was she just said, I'm locking the doors, I'm in the house, and I'm not getting out. And so they had to go to court, and they're going to have to get a marshal to remove her.
How can
what a
that
mess.
Family still be in the news every day?
Unbelievable.
Wow.
And meanwhile, Jermaine is sleeping at the airport in Africa like Tom Hanks in the terminal, right? All right. Well, we will keep our eyes on that story and everything else going on in this big, beautiful world of ours. TMZ.com. Check your local listings for TMZ Television. Harvey Levin, always a treat, Chevy, on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you so much.
Great talking to you guys. Yeah.
Thanks. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, a lot of new TV shows coming on this week. Anyone watch that The Cape last night? Anyone see any of that?
I did not.
I saw about 5 minutes of it. I thought, oh, I got to watch that. But then I was watching sports, so then I taped it.
Yeah.
And then I saw about 10 minutes of Bob's Burger.
Pretty funny, right?
Yes. It has.
You sound like you have some hesitation.
It has potential.
It's new.
Probably one of those that grows on you.
It's new.
It has potential.
Yeah.
Well, we are into the time of year now where new shows are debuting and other new shows are being announced, too. And if there's one thing I've learned in all the years I've been following television, and that is that the trademark of quality is really Ryan Seacrest Productions. When you see RSP on a show, you know that you're dealing with an all-time winner.
That is going to be a high-quality program.
And that's why we're very excited about the Khloe and Lamar show, ladies and gentlemen, coming this fall to E! Now, how many shows do the Kardashians need?
I don't know. How many do they have now? Just the one? No, they had two.
No.
Three.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think three, right?
I don't even know. Well, you know what? We have, I believe we have Khloe on the phone. I think we can ask her and find out what the details are on this show with her and her professional basketball playing husband, which debuts this fall. Hey, Khloe, how are you? Oh, I'm sorry. Is this Lamar? It's Kevin and Bean.
It's Lamar.
What? I'm sorry, what?
I did not catch that. I apologize, Lamar, but it's great to talk to you. We're big fans of yours.
We're calling to ask about the TV show of your wife, Khloe, and you.
Oh, you want to talk about Khloe?
Yes.
You want to talk Khloe?
Well, yeah,
yes,
we can understand
like to talk to
her.
Okay, hold on, I'm going to get you Khloe.
All right, thank you.
Okay,
Khloe.
Thank you.
Such a lovely couple.
I hope this is on the show. I hope they're filming. Oh, my God. Oh, wow.
Wow.
She's a big girl.
Hello.
Hi, Khloe.
Khloe, it's Kevin and Bean. Nice to talk to you again, my dear.
Oh, hi, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Good.
You guys aren't in an apartment on an upper floor, are you?
No.
Okay, good.
We have a lavish home.
Okay,
good. You'll be staying in our new reality show, Khloe and Lamar.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's talk about that. Why are you, you're already on the show with your sisters, right?
Yes, we're on the Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And then there was Khloe and Courtney.
Khloe and Courtney, right.
Egg on Manhattan, or whatever that was.
Right.
Florida or somewhere.
Miami, I think.
Miami.
Yeah.
Yes. And now it's Lamar and Odom. No, it's Lamar and Khloe. Khloe and Lamar.
Khloe and Lamar, right.
Yes.
What is your fascination with having cameras follow you all the time?
It's not us. We don't want this. We don't want the attention. But America demands it.
Oh, you're against it.
Yes. We'd rather just be left. We just want to live a simple life quietly.
Okay.
Yeah. But America demands it. They need to know everything about us, and they're desperate to understand why we do what we do. So it's really just, it's just our gift. It's our gift to the world.
Wow, that's really thoughtful of you.
To allow you to look into our lives.
Considering you don't want it, I mean, I think that's really nice.
Well, I appreciate that. It's a cross we must bear of being the most fascinating family in America.
I see. Now, how much of the show will be us watching you eat, Chloe?
How dare you, sir, to suggest that I eat a lot. That's ridiculous. It'll be a lot.
How much watching Lamar eat?
Because Lamar loves candy.
Lamar does
love candy.
Oh,
yeah.
And that'll be a big part of the show. Lamar saying, oh, give me some candy. And then me saying, oh, we're out of candy. And then he goes, okay, go shopping for candy. And then I'll get in the car and I'll go get candy.
Right.
Then I'll bring it home and I'll say, your candy's here. And Lamar's like, oh, this is good candy. So I love that. Love that'll be going on.
That's a lot of the show?
Like the other day, he was out of candy. And so I had to go get him some candy.
Right.
And so I went to 7-Eleven. And I just ripped the roof off the 7-Eleven, and I just reached down into the 7-Eleven,
right.
And I went to the candy aisle, and I just got just a fistful of candy, and then I came back, and I gave it to Lamar.
Wow.
That sounds like a whole episode.
That's like a premiere episode, isn't it?
That sounds good,
Wouldn't you watch that? Wouldn't you?
Chloe, was it difficult for you to date and then find a man to marry who was bigger than you are?
Well, I have a couple inches on Lamar.
You do?
Yeah.
You do? I didn't know that.
Yeah. But that's why I wear flats.
I see.
I don't want him to feel insecure.
That's nice of you.
But I do like dating a big man.
Right.
Because I'm a big woman with big needs and big desires.
Right.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And also, it was important to find a rich man who could afford the food bills.
Well.
Because when the truck backs up at our house for lunch, and the team of workers gets out to start shoveling the food. It is quite the production, and it does not come cheap.
Wow, it sounds expensive.
That's why I'm glad that Lamar is not crazy selling off his ring for charity or something.
Right, that was run our test. You did
right,
that, right?
That's
exactly.
Craziness.
Well, he raised a lot of money for a good cause.
Whatever.
Yeah. Do you have any trouble, as we do, understanding what your husband says when he's talking?
No. No, I don't. Racist?
Well, no,
no,
I'm not being racist. He just mumbles.
There's a lot of mumbling going on.
He is perfectly clear. Lamar, they say they can't understand what you're saying when you say it.
What do you mean you can't understand me? What do you mean you can't understand me?
Well, I'm just wondering if they're going to have subtitles, because sometimes you're in a conversation and you don't project.
No, I don't project.
You don't project.
You don't enunciate.
I don't know, you show no movies anyway. Why do I care?
No, not that kind of projecting.
What do you mean? What does that mean by projecting?
What?
What other meaning is that for projecting?
What do we mean that you're not projecting?
Yeah.
Hey, I speak Lamar.
How about that? Bean speaks it.
What? No, I'm saying what other meaning is
there? What?
India. Lamar, I better handle this.
Yes, okay.
Okay.
I don't think Lamar understood there was another meaning for projecting.
I see. That's what it was.
You're the most
fascinating family in America.
Reese's right now.
Right. He's eating right now.
He's
I
eating
understand.
Reese's pieces.
He does
sure.
love candy.
And he appreciates
big pieces.
Right, sure.
Okay. We appreciate you not eating during this whole interview. I know it was probably very difficult for you, Clark.
Well, I appreciate that. It was difficult, and I'm getting a little faint.
I'm sure you are.
So I have to go to the kitchen now and get myself a snack, if you don't mind.
Okay.
I'll
okay,
just
well,
you
sure.
with me because I've got the cell phone with
oh,
me.
Oh, okay.
So.
Whatever you need to do, right? Oh, wow. That's...
Chloe, hungry!
Wow. Let's just be walking?
Yes.
Wow.
Now I'm in the kitchen.
I am going to be watching that show for sure.
Okay.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. Keep listening. K-Rock's World Tour 2011, destination number one is My Chemical Romance in Paris, France. In Paris, France. Thank you, Mike. Keep listening. Your chance to win is next hour. It is 6:52.
Monday on the Kevin Bean Show. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Every hour at this time, Ralph Garman stops by to tell us what's going on in the world. Oh, showbiz. What's happening, Ralph?
Since it's Monday, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. Number one at the box office, finally knocking Little Fockers out of that slot, is a movie that I thought was one of the best of last year. True Grit, $15 million, made it number one at the box office this weekend. A lot of people checking out Jeff Bridges and what some are touting will be his next Academy Award performance nominated. I think rightly so. Does a great job.
It was good.
I do know that I will never forget our interview with the Coen brothers on Friday when Kevin was bleeding like just been shot. It was a gusher.
That was pretty strange. And you ended up getting caught. I was like, I had told you that it happened to me. Remember that?
Yeah,
time?
Yeah. I had to go to the doctor right afterwards.
Painful.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. It was weird because Mike ran out to get some tissue and my nose. I was not bleeding, but literally just poor. I have no idea how the interview went. I love those guys. I hope it was good.
Yeah.
I was trying to push buttons and hit the clips and keep from, I don't know.
You were hemorrhaging like a mofo.
He was. Every time he took the Kleenex away, blood would drip on his hand.
Not drip. I mean, it was like
a steady stream.
I don't know what happened. But blood. I don't remember much of the interview. I hope it was good. I always wanted to talk to those guys.
It was. We appreciate your input.
That's not how you imagined it in your dreams, though, was it?
No, not
when you made the movie.
He's like trying to ask a question through a tissue. It was not easy. Little Fockers was number two at the box office. Season of the Witch, the new Nicolas Cage 14th century crusading knight movie, came in third with $10.1 million. Tron Legacy was fourth. Black Swan came in at number five. Gwyneth Paltrow once again showing her enormous star power and appeal and ability to get people into the theaters to watch her movies. Country Strong opened up at number six this weekend with $7.3 million. The Fighter was seventh. The King's Speech was eighth. Yogi Bear and Tangled, rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Congratulations to 30 Rock cast member Jane Krakowski. She is reportedly carrying her first child. Not just carrying around a child, but apparently there is a child inside of her that she is actually carrying. Yeah, she's engaged to a British designer named Robert Godley. And they're going to have a baby together, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe now they'll finally get married. Do the right thing. Or not, according to Kelsey Grammer and Camille Grammer, these two are not doing well.
Uh-oh.
They are no longer speaking to each other, by the way. The former star of Frasier and Cheers.
I thought all celebrities were able to remain friends.
Best friends. That's the line they give us via their representatives, but these two haven't even
tried that.
No one's buying it. They don't no longer talk at all, which is sad because they do have two children together. And Camille apparently says that she would like them to become friends so that at least they could parent their children together and put all this behind us. But she has some issues with Kelsey, largely because she heard about her soon-to-be ex-husband's new girlfriend through a friend. So she called him while he was in New York with the new girlfriend, and he wouldn't answer the phone. Went out to voicemail. Then she started texting him for 3 hours. No response until finally he had to fess up that he no longer wanted to be married to her and that he was seeing someone else. So she's got some issues.
Wow. So that's how you get out of a marriage? Just don't answer the phone?
Apparently so.
Wow. Okay.
Who knew it was that easy?
Kelsey Grammer did.
And she left a message.
That's how he knew it was her.
Have you seen the photos online of her softcore porn days?
No.
No.
Yeah, recently over the weekend, I guess it was. Well, one of her castmates from Beverly Hills, the Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Right.
Desperate Housewives of Beverly Hills. What the hell is that show called? Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Who knows?
They don't like her. And so they're saying what a whore she was. And so they started circulating still photographs from The Naked Detective, one of the softcore porn movies she made in the 90s, and writing funny comments under it and stuff. So now they're all over the internet. You can check that out. She looks pretty good in them, quite frankly.
And by the way, so what? Like, how many chicks in Hollywood did Skinamax movies when they were coming up? I mean, what's the big deal about that?
More should do it. But I think hardcore porn, not just softcore either.
Should be a requirement to get into acting.
Yeah. Speaking of acting, congratulations to Hailee Steinfeld. We were talking about True Grit. She's been nominated for a Best Supporting Actress for the SAG Awards for her role in that movie. And she said she's looking forward to the awards to meet some of her favorite actors, but not Glee star Lea Michele.
Knows.
What?
Apparently, Hailee was on the Paramount lot, saw Lea Michele. She's a huge Glee fan. She's 14 years old. A lot of 14-year-old girls are. Went up to her, asked for an autograph, and got completely blown off.
Ah!
How about that?
Wow.
No boobs, nose.
You're dead to me.
Perhaps Lea Michele didn't know who Hailee was, or perhaps she did and was a little jealous that she's got a SAG nomination. And Leah doesn't, so. Love to see if that, they have a cat fight anytime soon.
Be good.
Salma Hayek is planning a miniseries on ABC.
Okay.
Based on Wicked. Wicked. Did you see the musical Wicked?
I'm sure I did, but I don't remember much about it. Is she in it?
She's not in it. Oh. She's producing it. She will be producing the miniseries based on Wicked. Here's the problem. ABC doesn't have the rights to the musical, so they're just going to base the miniseries on the book that the musical was based on. So you get all the Wicked with none of the big hit songs.
Okay.
Way to go, ABC. Once again, you continue your struggle to get to the bottom of the ratings. So, congratulations.
Seems like a terrible
idea. People will be tuning in to
see Wicked. That's a little low rent, isn't it?
And be horribly disappointed when no one sings and dances. So you got that going for you. And more television news. I'm sorry, more movie news. The Harry Potter series, of course, written by J.K. Rowling. There was a plagiarism lawsuit brought against her by the family of an author named Adrian Jacobs. And he claims that the plot of the fourth book, or the family claims, rather, the plot of the fourth book, The Goblet of Fire, was plagiarized from his book, The Adventures of Willy the Wizard.
A very popular book,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah, hugely popular. The judge finally said, you know what, they're very different in both style and substance, and just because Willy and Harry both are wizards doesn't necessarily mean that she stole any ideas from you. So they will see none of that money, which is sad. But in more fantasy news and more book news, Elijah Wood, who, of course, starred in The Lord of the Rings, will be returning to play the role of Frodo Baggins in Peter Jackson's two-film retelling of The Hobbit, very successful book. Filming begins next month in New Zealand for the prequel to The Lord of the Rings series, so he'll be back reprising his role, and Cate Blanchett also will be back as Galadriel. So if you're a fan of those movies, you're going to see some of your favorites returning in The Hobbit. Let's take a look today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Rod Stewart is 66 years old today. Former boxing champ George Foreman is 62. Kirkwood of Meat Puppets is 52 years old today. Jermaine Clement of Flight of the Conchords is 37. Chris Smith of Criss Cross, make you want to
jump.
He is 32 years old today. And Brad Roberts of Crash Test Dummies is 47 years old today. Some Crash Test Dummies for me?
I wish.
Did you load me up some Crash Test Dummies?
Sorry, I'm sorry, yes.
No, that's not
Superman never made any money saving the world from Solomon Grundy.
You want us to play that?
I want that song.
Wait, Tim McGraw covered that song?
How dare you. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Isn't football the best thing in the world? Football is the best thing in the world, Bean.
I heard somebody saying, why do we waste our time with all of these no-talent reality show stars when the best reality show in the world is the NFL? Because every single weekend, there's some unbelievable storylines that you see play out live, and they matter. And it's so much fun. And my God, Ralph would disagree with this statement, but one of the most satisfying football weekends I can ever remember just passed. We thought we'd break it down and look ahead toward next weekend, the next round of the playoffs, with our friend Matt Money Smith, nationally syndicated radio host from the Petros and Money Show and former sports guy at the Kevin and Bean program. Hey, Money, how are you, man?
I'm good. What's happening, guys?
How fun was it this weekend?
It was great. It was great. You know, and I think it's one of the things about the NFL and why it's the most popular league, the most popular sport in the country, because of parity, you know, because a 7-9 team can be unjustly rewarded a home game,
right,
take advantage of that, and end up, you know, possibly making a run to the NFC Championship game. The Seahawks beat the Bears earlier this year in Chicago.
Is there anybody in all the people that you talked to last week, was there one lone voice out there who actually thought Seattle had a chance to beat the Super Bowl champion New Orleans Saints?
I'm going to say his name was Bean.
he didn't even think so.
I knew it was possible. I know when Hasselbeck has a great game, he is a great quarterback. I know that. But he so rarely has those games anymore with his injuries and his age. I mean, I couldn't have been more surprised or more pleased, obviously, by the way it came out. Kevin's got some audio we're going to play here in a second for folks who maybe didn't see the game. But talk about when you were watching, when you saw what Marshawn Lynch did for the Seahawks to really put the game away.
Yeah, you know, it's almost like, I guess depending on how old you are and what era you grew up in, if you just put it in video game terms, it was a video game run. And
it was.
Like, the one that I played was called Tecmo Bowl, and you would have to slam the A button with your thumb. Like, you would create a thumb blister from hitting this button so hard. But if you did it, you would shake tacklers, and they would just bounce off of you. They couldn't bring you down, and that's what it looked like. Eight, you know, there's 11 men on defense. Eight of them at one point got a hand on the running back for the Seahawks, and he shook them. And one dude, I mean, you want to talk about just getting straight punked. I mean, this guy is going to be on a highlight film for the rest of his career. His name's Porter. And
that guy straight-armed?
Yeah, just got straight-armed.
Yeah.
shoved him back like 3 yards. Like, you think you're tackling me? Get out of here.
This is right near the end of the game.
Yeah. Oh, look at this run. What a run. Marshawn Lynch. Still on his feet. Has blockers now. He's dancing his way for the touchdown. What a run, 67 yards by Marshawn Lynch.
That's as good an effort as I've ever seen in my life.
Okay, now, did that guy lisp that much earlier in the game? That's as good an effort as I've ever seen in my life.
For running back, watch him cut it back, and you're going to see all kinds of people sprinting down the field to help him.
Down.
He breaks the tackle of Shanley, runs through Sharper, runs through Adell, runs through Jabari Greer. Get off me, he says. Are you kidding me?
By the way,
it was remarkable. And you know, like the big thing to come out of that game, of course, and Bean, I'm sure, has said this throughout the week, is just how hard it is to play in an environment like Quest Field. For some, you know, Paul Allen's got this billions of dollars. And when he built that place, apparently he kind of knew something about the acoustics of how you would shape that kind of split roof that kind of looks like a woman's private parts. It makes it so, if you really look at it too, by the way, you know, it's kind of split at the top. There's the slit there, and then there's like this little button sort of where in the end.
They showed that view from the blimp. It never struck me that way,
yeah,
Money.
Well, you know, I'm a freaking idiot. So
wait, it's the vagina bowl.
Wait, let's hear some more names.
Columbus is down the field. 78, Columbus, 78. The offensive guard. The quarterback, Hasselbeck was 30 yards down the field. Look at the hustle by Columbus.
Look at the hustle, everybody. Look at that hustle.
And that's a Tom Hammond, is that right? Is he the Notre Dame guy? Is that who's calling the game?
Yeah, it's the Notre Dame crew. It's Tom Hammond and Mike Mayock.
He does have quite the list. Well, anyway, that was certainly the upset. That was the game that nobody called over the weekend. And I mean, how crappy must the Saints feel? I mean, they were granted it was an away game for them, but they were favored by 10.5 points.
Yeah, you know, it's the, you know, when over on the radio show, we do the football. Vance Finance does the football picks. He was 3-1. The one game he lost was he took the Saints minus 10.5 because if you looked at any quality opponent the Seahawks had faced this past year, they lost by 20 points, you know, to the Giants, to the Saints earlier this year. They just got slaughtered, you know. Yeah. And that's the thing about the NFL, though. It's not a 5-game series. It's not a 7-game series. It's one game.
No, you're out. Your that's
quarterback
right.
gets hot. The opposing defense is flat. And next thing you know, you win and you move on to the next round.
All right, let's keep it in the NFC and talk Green Bay, Philadelphia. Obviously, what made the difference in this game was stupid David Akers, who apparently can't kick field goals anymore when he needs to. What happened there?
Well, you know, and again, his best season, I think, of his career. He's going to the Pro Bowl. Well, they said before the game that the wind out at the lane was just nasty, and it was tough to deal with. But this is a guy that's been kicking there forever. You'd think he'd kind of know, you know, how you're supposed to kick into the different winds when they roll into that place. But for one reason or another, just couldn't convert him. And I think, you know, the other thing is the Green Bay defense is one that really does give a lot of teams trouble. It's that 3-4 Dom Capers zone blitz scheme, and
arguably the
most athletic, nastiest, throw down the hammer defensive lineman or linebacker, the hybrid in Clay Matthews in the league. And clearly they just wreaked havoc all over an offense that was explosive all season long.
It couldn't have been a closer finish in the game, by the way, when Michael Vick threw that final pass with 40 seconds left. I mean, if it had been 2 feet away, or if the receivers had just spaced out a little bit differently, the guy could have caught that ball. I mean, it ended up being an interception, but it could have just as easily gone the other way, and he could be moving on.
Yeah, I mean, as sad as it is, it really was one of the best stories in the NFL. And, you know, you were talking about Michael Vick for MVP. You know, if it weren't for Tom Brady's season, I think, you know, that'd be a very realistic possibility. He'll probably come in second in MVP voting, and to have it end with an Eagles home playoff loss, it puts a damper, that's for sure.
And then the Jets beat the Colts.
That's not as surprising because the Colts were terrible, you know, and they were kind of, because the NFC.
But they were at home.
Yeah, but because the NFC West was so bad, not a lot of people realized how bad the AFC South was. I mean, that it was a pretty bad division all year. And when you look at the Colts, they clearly were not the same team that we saw go to the Super Bowl last year. They're, you know, Dallas Clark, arguably the best receiving tight end in the league, gone. Peyton Manning's favorite receiving threat, Austin Collie, gone. They were just busted up team.
And by the way, that game was super boring, I thought, for three and a half quarters. But you couldn't have asked for a more exciting finish to have the lead change twice in the final minute.
Yeah, and especially, you know, a quarterback that really has been embattled all year, Mark Sanchez. You know, he'd have one great game, one terrible game.
Take it easy, Psycho Mike.
Mike hit the bell.
Oh, did he hit the bell?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, man, he's a good-looking guy.
I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah, and he's a hero. He's a hero to the people of Southern California, that's sure.
By the way, this weekend, and I'm sure you know this stat, this is Matt Money Smith on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show from the Petros and Money nationally syndicated radio show. We're talking about this past weekend's NFL games. This past weekend was the first time that Michael Vick and Drew Brees and Peyton Manning all lost in the same weekend.
Yeah, and you know what? What do they always say about the NFL? Oh, it's all about quarterback play.
Yeah, yeah. That was shocking.
It's so funny about, like, those different cliches and lines. Well, defense and running the ball get you the win, and then everyone starts passing the ball for
right, exactly.
years. And then it's all about quarterback play. Yeah, Peyton Manning, Michael Vick, and Drew Brees all lost this week.
All lost. Yeah. All right, fourth and final game was the only dog of the weekend, really, and it ended exactly the way it was expected, which was Baltimore over Kansas City 30-7. No surprise there, right, Matt?
No, you know, what I had said was, you know, teams take baby steps. It's rare that, you know, when you have these, I think the average over the last decade is five new playoff teams every single year in the NFL.
Wow.
Five teams that didn't make it the year prior make it the following year. And I think for the Chiefs, you know, they were a doormat for a couple seasons. They finally took that step to win that division, but they're not ready to compete on a level of the Baltimores and the New Englands that had been there and have been building to this, you know. So that didn't surprise me in the least. And it's, again, you know, kind of sad because it's a great story in Matt Castle, you know, and what he's done to as, you know, from a guy that never started a game at USC to being drafted in the seventh round and now, you know, one of the better quarterbacks over the regular season to play as poorly as he did.
Well, next weekend we got the heavyweights coming back. They had the bye this week. They were able to rest up and sit out for next week. But next week you got your Steelers, you got your Falcons, you got your Patriots. I mean, do you anticipate any kind of upsets next weekend, or you think it's
going to
be
great games? You know, I mean, those are division opponents. So this is third meeting of the year for the Ravens and the Steelers and the Jets and the Patriots. You know, that's what's so great.
Whatever the supposed lock is, I'm betting against.
I think the Seahawks are going to have a tough job doing that on the road. You know, I think the Bears, they ought to come out of that. I think the Packers, as good as they looked and as great as they've been playing, Atlanta's very hard. I think you'll probably see Bears in Atlanta in the NFC Championship. And I think that Patriots-Jets game is going to be a dogfight. I think that's going to be the game of the week.
All right, Money, we're out of time, but tonight is the BCS Championship. Is it? Does anyone care?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
I care. I love
game.
The Ducks.
That is going to be arguably one of the best. That's going to be like Texas-USC. That's going to be that much fun, that kind of championship game. It'll be close, and it'll be a one-score game, I think.
Yeah, very exciting. That's going to be tonight from Glendale, and it's on ESPN at 5:30 West Coast time. Money, always great to have you on, man. Give our best to Petros. We'll talk to you again soon, buddy.
Absolutely, guys.
Thank you.
We love conspiracy theories more than anyone. And we got a new one for you that will debut just after the top of the next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You're going to love it. You may be a victim of this conspiracy theory, so we will explain on the way. It is a Monday Kevin and Bean Show, and it's time for a brand new Internet Roundup.
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Got a bunch of videos up this time. Go to kevinandbean.com. You can see them all. The first one is Marshawn Lynch's amazing touchdown run, which we just played some audio from.
Marshawn Lynch! Still on his feet! Has blockers now! He's dancing his way for the touchdown!
So then somebody took the video from that run and then added the Tecmo Bowl sound effects from that Super Nintendo game. That
was
the predecessor of Madden and all that kind of stuff.
Ready?
That sound effect as he's running down the field is very funny. The Kanye West Monster Muppet remix.
Yes.
I don't know if you know the song Monster. It's Jay-Z and Kanye and a bunch of different people. And but they put together this entire song with Muppets. And
you haven't lived till you've seen Muppets say Mother Effer.
And it's brilliant. It fits perfectly. You won't believe how great it looks.
Everybody know I'm a motherfucking monster. I'm going to need to see your hands at the concert. I'm going to need to see your hands.
But it's just perfectly done. You have to watch that one.
Wow.
I don't know where this next one came from. I do know that sometimes in the middle of the night when I'm not sleeping, I come up with ideas like this. But this one is a trailer mashup. And it's You Got Served
okay.
from, what, 2003? 2004, yeah. And Fiddler on the Roof.
Oh, come on.
So they took the video from Fiddler on the Roof, and then they put the audio from You Got Served, and they made it look good. It's bizarre.
The guy who posted it said that this was a project for an editing class that he was taking.
No
and
kidding.
This, that's how he did it. It was the first one he'd ever done, and he did an amazing job with it.
You're just mad, because tonight you suckers got served.
Yeah. I love that movie. I forgot how good that was. There's a 10-minute clip called Win Compilation 2010, and it's a long, long clip, and it's worth watching.
What is it?
The whole thing. It's just highlights of last year.
Oh, okay.
Basically. The one that I'm going to play the audio from is a guy in a truck, and he's driving downhill, and there's a giant, huge, like almost lake of water in the road, mm-hmm. and he sees some kids right next to it, so he speeds up as fast as he possibly can and douses them wetter than if they were in a bath. It was unbelievable.
Puddle at the bottom of the hill, coming up, kids at the bottom of the hill, come on, yeah!
That is a win.
They're completely soaked. I've had that done to me 5 times, 6 times. Always funny. Most obnoxious kid in the world. They're doing a news piece on the weather and the delays and the flights and stuff. And they talk to a kid who might be 9, 8. I don't know.
Good.
He's very upset about the delay.
Thousands of passengers across the East Coast, of course, had to alter their plans. And we spoke to one kid who was trying to cope with the delay.
I'm just sitting there on my iPod. It's just so frustrating. I want to be in Florida getting a tan on my back.
Oh, my. How old is he?
Yeah, I don't know. He looked like he was 9. He put on his back God. Like he turned around and pointed to his back.
That's a kid who has listened to his parents complain a lot. That's where he learned that, right? Because most kids would be like, whatever.
Yeah. Here's another 10-minute one that's worth it. It's a 20-car pileup in Colorado Springs.
And ouch.
And a guy is standing there with a video camera. And it doesn't happen all at once, but there's ice. It's an icy road, and it's an uphill. So all these cars keep trying
So he just knows?
Yeah. Well, he sees some cars, you know.
Yeah. So
and then
he gets ready.
Another one tries it, and then it slides back and into him. And then another one goes, and it slides back in and into him.
This guy's hitting every car coming down. Watch out! Oh, Jesus. Here comes another one.
It's literally another 10 minutes of him just sitting there watching, and car after car goes, you know what? I see all the cars on the side of the road, but I think I can make it up this hill.
That's awesome.
And then they don't. Heavy Metal Penguin.
Yeah.
Oh, I love this little guy.
Is the next one. And it's inexplicable. I don't know where it came from. There are a bunch of penguins sitting around watching, not moving, and mm-hmm. one of them is on meth. And is jumping around, and somebody's
doing the happy dance,
and somebody put it to some heavy metal music. And you just watch that when you go, this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen, because none of the other penguins are dancing at all or moving.
He's the happiest little penguin in the world.
James Vanderbeek used to be Dawson Leary.
Mm-hmm. Dawson's Creek,
yeah. And he apologizes on, what's the website that we like?
Funny or Die.
Okay.
He apologizes for setting such a high standard. Girls think that their guys should be like him, all caring and everything. So now he's turned into an a-hole for hire. So he can make you look good.
Fellas, you're not perfect. And you shouldn't have to be.
Never waste your money buying candy for a chick. Only makes him fat, right, bro?
I'm not going to high-five you.
Vanderbeek took a in her aquarium.
I'll take a in your aquarium, too.
So he goes and in front of the girl, he'll say, don't buy her candy. She's just going to get fat. High five. And then the guy looks like a hero, and now she likes him more. So you can hire Dawson Leary, a-hole for hire.
That's a great idea.
Jimmy Kimmel had a clip on Josh Groban. I don't know if you know who he is. He sings.
The singer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Josh Groban sings Kanye West tweets. Is one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
I love that.
Fur pillow. A heart to actually sleep on. Man, whatever happened to my antique fish tank?
Whatever happened to my antique fish tank?
I love Josh Groban so much. He's got a great voice. Even though he sings a boring kind of music, he's a super young dude. I think he may even be in his 20s, maybe.
Yeah.
Late 20s or something. And he's got a phenomenal sense of humor. So he's always doing wacky stuff like this. But they had the great idea over there at Jimmy Kimmel's show to have him sing Kanye tweets. And it's so funny.
And it's like a commercial. And there's so many of them. And they're so ridiculous. But to hear him sing it like that is the best.
That's cool.
So go to KevinandBean.com for the Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's Internet
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Looking ahead toward tomorrow, by the way, three lovely ladies on the program. Elizabeth Mitchell from Lost and Ellen V is going to be joining us tomorrow. The beautiful Emmy Rossum is going to be joining us tomorrow in a new show called Shameless. And the gorgeous Daniel Tosh. He'll be here, too.
Oh, he's pretty.
He is pretty. He'll be, he's got a new season of Tosh.0 getting ready to debut on Comedy Central. So that's a pretty big Kevin and Bean Show, and that's all tomorrow right here. All right, our friend Dr. Moe, who's an actual doctor, an actual surgeon, generally, wouldn't you agree with me, Kevin, he's a fairly even-keeled guy.
Yeah, well, it seems to be a part of that job description is if you're working in an ER, you're doing surgery and stuff, you have to take everything and you have to remain as calm as possible.
That's right.
We always go to him for any questions we have that have to do with medical issues.
Right, he's grace under pressure, but I'm worried that he's having an aneurysm and he's going to bust if he doesn't get on the radio and talk about something that is weighing extremely heavily on his mind. So let's welcome Dr. Moe back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Doc, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, guys. How you doing?
You okay?
Good.
Oh, I'm fine. I wanted to talk about the whole Conrad Murray propofol thing because I'm sure you guys understand, and I'm sure a lot of people out there understand that whenever a bad cop or a bad teacher, somebody makes the news, the 99.99% good part of those professions kind of goes unrecognized, and it gets very frustrating. But this is sort of getting out of control, and everything I read about this arraignment is this guy is an embarrassment to the profession. He needs to go away. He needs to go away forever.
They're making they're trying to make the case that he was just out of the room, and Michael woke up and gave himself the shot, and so it wasn't his fault.
Right, and I understand that's what they're trying to do. The problem is I guess, and I guess these lawyers don't understand what they're dealing with. They're missing some of the most basic questions, some basic yes or no questions that would end the discussion. This could save taxpayers $1 million if they just ask three or four simple questions.
Which
yes
are?
Yes or no, which are? One, Dr. Murray, why are you using propofol on a patient outside of the hospital? Any answer he gives is the wrong answer. This is a drug that cannot be given, cannot be administered by anyone outside of a hospital.
So it doesn't matter, even if what he's saying is true and Michael Jackson gave himself the dose, he shouldn't have had it at his house regardless.
You understand that the excuse is that he needs help sleeping.
Right. Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Okay. Now, again, and you'd be embarrassed to ask a real doctor this question, but you'd ask the doctor, do you know the difference between sleep and anesthesia?
Dr. Moe, is it illegal to give propofol outside of a hospital?
That's an excellent question in terms of the way the law is written.
I'm just saying, because Dr. Murray, look, I'm no defender of the guy, but he could reasonably say, my client is Michael Jackson. He can't go to the hospital without pictures being taken and sold to the tabloids and his privacy being invaded, blah, 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 blah. So I'm trying to provide the best level of care that I can for him in a way that is possible for him to get it privately. And if it's not illegal to have propofol, then I think maybe he wins that round.
Is it illegal to give propofol, or is it immoral, or is it just wrong to give propofol for sleep? You give propofol to put somebody in a state where you can do things. Let me put you another way. If you're just sleeping, and somebody stands next to you with a chainsaw and starts to take your leg off, you'll wake up.
Right.
You won't with propofol.
Yeah.
That's not sleep.
Okay. That sounds like the best night's sleep ever, though.
Now, is that refreshing? Does he wake up refreshed or no?
But it has nothing to do with refreshing. You don't put when you're helping somebody sleep, you don't make them stop breathing.
That could be a negative, sure.
I think some of the people confuse sleep with general anesthesia because people say, "Oh, this is the doctor that's going to put me to sleep." They're two different things.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Dr. Moe. Is part of the reason this one is driving you so crazy that you're worried that that information will not be part of the prosecution's case, that somehow they'll screw this up and he'll walk, or no?
They're already screwing it up. Here's something even more basic. He's a cardiologist who doesn't know how to do CPR.
Yeah, that was CPR weird.
And it's beyond weird because, again, it shows you that this guy's either very dumb, very incompetent, or very corrupt. I'll give me another example. When the most basic medical student and nurse learn CPR, the first thing they learn, and literally this is the first words that are out of your mouth. When you see somebody that needs CPR, what are the first words you're supposed to say?
Call 911.
Exactly right. Which he didn't do.
Yeah.
at all. Now, second of all, how do you do CPR? You don't do it with one arm with a guy on a bed.
Yeah.
All right. So, again, and it just, if you start doing this, you're looking at a guy who clearly doesn't have the, this guy shouldn't be a doctor. And what he did hurt Michael Jackson. What he did ended this guy's life. And it's just sad. They're talking about, they use words in the stuff I've been trying to follow up on in the Associated Press and Los Angeles Times. They're trying to argue that this is extreme deviation from the norm. This has nothing to do with extreme deviation. If somebody's on propofol, you need them on monitors. You need a thing that measures the oxygen in your blood pressure, your heart rate, and you need the ability, just in case you give a little too much, to endotracheally intubate the patient, meaning you got to have that breathing tube put in so you can put them on a ventilator. And I guarantee you they didn't have a ventilator inside Michael Jackson's house.
Yeah.
Well, you are a downer, first of all, Dr.
I don't want this guy to OJ out is what I'm afraid of.
No, I understand. I understand. And but the other thing I'll say is if one of your concerns is that somehow he makes the medical profession look bad, I don't think most of us equate Michael Jackson with a private for hire doctor in his house with the kind of medical care that we expect when we go to a hospital or an actual doctor's office. We know that you guys are real doctors working for a living.
I'll tell you this, though. I get procedures done on my back, and the last time I went, they didn't use propofol. I swear to God, because of the Michael Jackson problem. And now they need to hire an extra anesthesiologist to make sure, because of all the heat that's on this particular drug. And I wasn't out, and I was screaming and yelling, and it was miserable.
Oh, God.
And people are, it looks to me like doctors are free to use it now. For real, even though it's the best drug that would be, you know, for use in the hospital.
It is an extraordinarily good drug. And again, this is part of the negative backlash that this case is creating. When I was in training about 20 years ago, we started a protocol, Diprovan, which is the other name for propofol, was a fairly new drug. And what we did in this, I trained out in Phoenix. Kevin, you may know where Maricopa is.
Sure.
Maricopa Medical Center. I trained in the burn unit there. We started a program where we could give these patients who had these horrific injuries, where we could give them a little bit of propofol and kind of put them in this twilight sleep while we peeled their skin off.
Oh, good morning.
Ouch. God.
When we were doing the dressing changes. And it was the most blissfully humane thing you've ever seen, because these poor patients would just go off. We would do that, and then the drug wears off in minutes.
Yeah.
Wow. It's beautiful. Yeah. So,
all right. We're out of time here, Dr. Moe, but please tell me you feel like you've released a little bit of steam and you're going to be okay and you're not going to go on any kind of a tear today because of it, right? You're fine. You're okay. You're calm again.
I am in a zen place right now. Thank you, guys.
Sure. Look, I was watching the story, and it does get confusing because there's a lot of that stuff. We don't know how it's supposed to be used, outside, inside, whatever. I mean, they do start making a case, and everybody starts going, well, all right, I guess.
Well, when they take Dr. Murray's Heisman away, that's what I'm going to be concerned. All right, man. Thanks for coming on. Have a great week, Doc.
Hey, talk to you later.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 7:57.
See, the government is putting a camera and a microphone in your TiVo, Kevin. So when you're sitting in your house watching TV, they're watching you.
Oh, that's not good.
We will discuss that conspiracy theory coming up right after the top of the hour on The Kevin DeBean Show. Now, Ralph joins us, as he does each hour at this time, for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Every Monday, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office to see what people are going to see. And this weekend, it was True Grit. Came in at number one with $15 million. Knocked off Little Fockers from the top of the list. $13.7 million. Put it at number two this week. Then Season of the Witch, the new Nick Cage movie. Made a little over $10.7 million. Good enough to make it number three. Tron Legacy was fourth. Black Swan was fifth. Sixth was Country Strong, the new Gwyneth Paltrow flop. I mean, movie. Fighter was seventh, King's Speech was eighth, Yogi Bear was ninth, and then Tangled rounded out your top ten at the box office. Evil and Goria, you know, sometimes, even if you're beautiful and talented, famous, things are tough, man. Things are tough. Her marriage didn't work out. Now her restaurant's going under.
She has a restaurant?
Yeah, she's got two. She's got one here in Los Angeles, another one in Las Vegas. Beso is the name of the restaurant, which, of course, is Spanish for kiss. And you can kiss your money goodbye if you're an investor in Beso. Filing for bankruptcy.
Ouch.
They are $5.7 million in debt.
Mm.
Well, Vegas isn't a big restaurant town. I can see why you would struggle there. Not a lot of people go out to eat when they're in Vegas.
Aren't restaurants...
Wait a minute!
Isn't that one of those businesses that fails at an alarming rate?
It does, yeah. It's a very difficult racket. But Vegas is a pretty good town to have a high-end restaurant. It's quite frankly.
You're captive.
They tend to do pretty well because they have a lot of tourism in Las Vegas.
Oh, really? Yeah. I never even realized that.
No, it's true. A lot of people go to restaurants to eat out when they're on vacation.
Sure.
Yeah.
But not so much at Bethel. Have you heard the new Britney Spears single?
I have not.
No. It's available.
You can
listen to it right here, right now on the Kevin and Bean Show if you're so inclined.
I'm tired of that myself.
I saw that coming a mile away. And I thought maybe he'll.
I'm tired of that myself.
Maybe he'll not. But then I
that
said
was it.
No.
I just turned on it. So
really?
Yeah.
That was it, huh?
That's it.
Here's the new Britney Spears song. 'Cause you feel like paradise, and I need a vacation tonight. So if I said I want your body now, would you hold it against me?
Wow.
Would you hold it against me?
Isn't that an old country song?
It's an old joke. If I said you had a beautiful body, would you hold it against me?
Right. And Kevin's right. A country song by the Bellamy Brothers. Yeah, they made that joke into a hit song, too.
That sounds like a Britney song.
A complete new direction for Britney. A brand new direction. She has finally reinvented herself.
No, really? No.
Oh, no, no. It's just.
I think it's hot. It's hot. It's hot. It's tight. It's a hit, man, and I like it. Right. I'm going to go get it.
Take
That's
it easy.
A keeper right
All
there.
All right.
More music to do poppers by from Britney. We appreciate that. Thank you so much, Brit.
Popper music.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Rod Stewart is 66 years old today. Boxing champ George Foreman turned 62. Kurt Kirkwood of the Meat Puppets is 52 years old today. Jermaine Clement of Flight of the Conchords turns 37. Chris Smith of Criss Cross, make you wanna.
What are you doing? You're jumping?
I'm jumping, man. Yeah, they make me want to jump.
Yeah.
I got to put my clothes on backwards, but other than that, it's a good time.
That was a weird hook, wasn't it?
We put our clothes
it's
on backwards.
It's a unique style choice, that's for sure. Wear your clothes backwards.
I wonder what real jobs those guys in Criss Cross have now, because the money has long run out from Jump Jump, right?
I heard they work at one of those bungee deals on a vacation.
Is that right?
They put you on a cliff, and they put you on one of those bungee cords, and then they make you jump jump.
See what you did? File that.
I shan't.
File it.
And Crash Test Dummies, Brad Roberts.
Yeah. Not a lot of work on the lyrics on that song.
Once there was a guy right. who didn't really sing that well, but still he had a band, so he would go. Brad Roberts of Crash Test Dummies is 47 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Later this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, we will talk to one very, very excited New York Jets fan, our friend comedian Jay Moore, who was here and actually boldly predicted the Jets over the Colts, by the way, when we had him in on Friday's show. We're going to call for a follow-up in about a half an hour or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Kevin and I have this in common. We love conspiracy theorists, don't we?
Oh, they're some of my favorite people because they'll believe anything.
And now, you cannot shake them.
Oh, not
by
a,
the way.
No, you can't.
There's not
can't.
A fact
facts,
you can give
facts
them.
Facts do not get in the way of a conspiracy theory.
No.
If you've decided that you are going to believe something nefarious, you're going to believe it. Now, there's a tremendous range of conspiracy theorists. I'm not so down with the people who think that that our government, the United States of America, brought down the Twin Towers. Those kind of people, they don't amuse me because I just think that's stupid and destructive. But I love the people who in 2011 – insist that man did not walk on the moon. I love those.
That's good. That's strong.
Because there's never been more evidence to support anything being real than man landing on the moon. Okay?
Yeah.
Yet they refuse to believe it, and they hang on to that. So we always keep our eyes open for a conspiracy theory, and there's a good one that's brewing now. And I guess this guy, I've heard of him over the years, but I guess he's a nut job, and that's what he does. And his name is what? Alex Jones?
Alex Jones, yes. He's the Rush Limbaugh of conspiracy theories.
Okay. So one of our Kevin and Bean listeners, thank you, sent us a link to something that he's talking about that is really kind of a twofold conspiracy theory. And I don't know which order you have the clips in, but one involves a specific television show being deleted from your TiVos. And the other involves the government watching and listening to us through our TiVos and other electronic equipment. So what do we got up first?
Conspiracy theory is the name of a TV show. Now, okay. If you record Conspiracy Theory at home on your TiVo, and it's on there, and you go to watch it, gone. It's been erased remotely by the government.
So I can click it. I can see that it's there.
Yes.
And then when I try to play it,
gone.
It's not there.
It's been deleted by someone outside of your home, which, by the way, most of us think are, you know, if we record something and it's on our TiVo or DVR, it's pretty much there until we decide to delete it. Not that the man is going to take
now,
it down, right?
Occasionally, I have recorded something that wasn't conspiracy theory and it wasn't there. Something happened. There was a glitch.
There's a glitch in the program, sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Because the government's not very good at what they do. So they'll make mistakes. And, you know, they'll delete a sports center, and I'll be going, hey,
that's what it is.
Stop that.
But 99 times out of 100, when that happens, it's because you're recording other things that were higher up in your list of that you've assigned.
You are so naive.
Am I just being naive?
Oh, my God. You'll believe anything, Bean.
Now, this show I've actually seen, by the way. That's how much I love conspiracy theorists. It's probably been on about 10 or 12 episodes so far, and it's hosted by Jesse Ventura, the former governor of Minnesota, and before that, a former WWF wrestler.
Now, does WWE. Does he believe? How is this presented?
Yes, he totally believes. Okay. Believes. I mean, he is a guy who has, remember, he was, you know, he got into office by being a third party candidate and saying that the government is, you know, the government is inefficient and corrupt and blah, blah, blah.
Well, that's all true.
That is all true. And he is definitely into it. So I actually saw a couple of these shows, and I wish that I had kept them on my TiVo so that I could see if I was one of the people who had them erased by the government. But let's hear a little bit of what Alex Jones is suggesting here.
We have had emails the last month pouring in. So we've done tests here at the office. It's true. They are erasing federal Jack's done tests. We are change have done tests. They'll show video of the DVR, and then they'll only erase certain ones.
Now, certain episodes of Conspiracy Theory are erased. Apparently,
right.
They don't hate them all, but they do hate a few of them, and they don't want you to see them.
What are they erasing? If you had the police state episode, they went into your computer, into your DVR, and erased it.
It's not possible that there was a problem when it was...
Nope, they went in there. He got email. Lisa, are you not listening? He got email.
It looked like they recorded, and then I went to play them, and there was 1 minute.
Dude got email supporting him. So he started with, I got email, so it's proven.
Sure. You're not addressing Kevin's argument here, Lisa.
All right, listen. We want to talk to you, too, if you're a conspiracy theorist. 1-800-520-1067. I think it's pretty easy to distrust the government. They make it.
Of course.
They make it impossible to trust them.
Sometimes
Absolutely.
Information comes out years later and you go,
right.
Oh, man, liars.
But then when you jump to the government is now getting involved in my TiVo watching and
right.
They're now erasing certain episodes. And I know it sounds like a joke that the TV show that they're erasing is called Conspiracy Theory.
Yes.
No. It doesn't sound like a joke at all because these episodes that are being erased are putting the government in a bad light. I mean, the number one episode that is disappearing from viewers' TiVos is the police state episode, which is talking about abuses of law enforcement.
Yeah.
And that makes the government look bad. They don't want their citizens to watch that. They want to censor that, Kevin. They want to delete that before you have a chance to see it and get angry.
What about the red hot JFK? What about that?
Look. Now they're remotely, and we're getting emails from everybody confirming this, they're erasing the JFK.
See? He got emails confirming it. They're erasing JFK.
And this is now, his investigation?
That's a hot potato.
No,
that's too hot to handle.
This is Jesse Ventura. This is Jesse Ventura's investigation. And by the way, if I trust anybody to uncover something new on the JFK
right.
investigation, it's Jesse Ventura, a guy who used to wear feather boas in the ring.
This is wrong on every level.
I love the fact that the JFK investigation is so hot
yeah.
that the government is going to erase it from your DVR.
More and more up to date, though.
Wall Street.
Anything about Wall Street and the collapse of the financial world, gone.
Mm-hmm.
Even the
gone.
Movie Wall Street?
Even the movie. Yes.
Water. I mean, do you think they want people knowing they're putting poison in the water and all the admissions?
So the one on water, apparently they also... took away because
I saw that episode. By
you
way.
Did
and
you
that
saw
episode,
the water?
Oh.
How did
I didn't
you
see
do
the,
it?
And well, because I watched it live,
dude. There's probably a hitman outside your house right now.
I watched it live before they had a chance to delete it. No, that was a very troubling, if true, a very troubling story about how many pollutants are in the water and how the government knows about it and either doesn't care or encourages those pollutants because of the things that it does to us because it's all part of some sort of master medical plan.
Hey, I saw Batman. I saw Batman Begins
exactly,
where they pour
exactly,
the
And that was true, too. That was also true, because I got an email on that. All right. So here's what we're interested in. We're interested in particular. Look, this is a very popular show on True TV. Now, that's not one of the big cable channels, but I mean, they had more than a million people watching that. So I guarantee that there are people in our audience who taped and or watched the Jesse Ventura conspiracy show.
It's called True TV. So it can't be false.
That's an excellent point.
One more thing before we sell for calls, and that is the extra step that the government is going.
People who believe in DVRs, people who think they're great, I told you many years ago, they watch what you watch, they track what you watch. Many of them have microphones and cameras built in. All the new video games coming out have it, and they track everything you're doing.
Now, do they track stuff you're doing? I imagine probably there are a lot of people who do.
They track what you're watching.
Sure. But I don't know that they have cameras in your DVR and microphones so that they can watch and listen to you.
You know, if they really did that, there would not be an unemployment problem in this country. Because think of how many people would have to be working, watching all those.
Oh, you're so naive. Bean, living with your heads in the sand.
I had a friend, and you guys remember, we talked about him on the show, the Space Commander, my friend, the Space Commander. Who, by the way, I forgot to tell you, Kevin, one day just vanished from the island. People who had known him for 30 years don't know what happened to him. No forwarding information at all, just gone, the Space Commander. But back when he used to still be alive, before the government got him, he used to tell me with all seriousness that he would never have a GPS in his car because the government obviously puts microphones and video cameras in GPSs so that they can watch and listen to your conversation. And he certainly would never have a DVR for that same reason. So if you've got thoughts on the government hiding cameras and microphones in electronics to track us, or if you have another way that they track us, we want to hear from you. And if you've had episodes of Conspiracy Theory or other shows that you think mysteriously vanished because the government wanted them to, we want to hear from you also. So that's what's on the table right now. 1-800-520-1067. A quick break and your calls right after this on the Kevin and Bean. Taking your calls right now on government conspiracy theories, especially those that involve them listening to your conversations, watching you via video cameras installed in your electronics, like your TiVo, like your GPS. By the way, this message on the Kevin and Bean Twitter, by the way, from Life of Riley says, for clarity, please play the Kevin's People intro theme before taking these conspiracy theory calls.
No kidding.
Because these are your people. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Alicia? Alicia is on line 4, and she joins us in on the conversation. Hi, Alicia. Thanks for hanging on. What's going on?
Hi. So there's really two issues here. The first one is a smaller one, and they're tracking your purchases based on all those rewards cards you sign up for, bonds and different retailers.
Who is? The government?
No, I think the retailers are.
Retailers are, and they're selling it to the government.
Okay.
And it's just another way to track people and your behavior.
Okay, but how's the government going to use the fact that I bought some Raisin Toast today?
Well, I'll tell you, they're already doing it with UPS packages. There's little chips in your packages, and how do they track where your package is when they lose it?
Right.
They're tracking these chips. And the only way to destroy them is to cut them up and put them in the microwave and set them on fire. I mean, there's a...
Okay, you do that every time you get a package from UPS?
No, but it's on a website called spychips.com. It's all about how the government is using these different forms of tracking people.
So awesome.
It all leads to tracking people. In Scotland, they already are tracking their criminals by inserting the VeriChip.
I'm good with that.
People.
I'm fine with that.
Me too.
Child predators, okay. Let's do it.
But here's the question I have
Chip
for Alicia. And it's weird because you don't sound crazy. But here's the question I have. I would expect businesses to track what I buy, and I would expect networks, for instance, to track what I watch. But none of that has anything to do with the government, as nearly as I can see. Like, why would the government care if I'm buying Triscuits or watching Glee?
Well, how do they know you're not making bombs? Because no one that makes bombs
eats Triscuits
and watches Glee.
That's how we track down bomb makers?
Yes.
Well, it all kind of rolls up into the tracking of people.
Right.
Because like I was saying earlier, in Europe, they're already enforcing this. They're chipping the criminals. And the criminals are actually taking the chips out of their skin.
I love it. Yeah.
And they're putting information via computer that they want on the chip. So that they can control what information is on there.
Okay.
I love it. Do they also neuter and spay them at the same time they put the chips in?
Who knows?
All right, Alicia, I love you very much. Thank you for the call. Let's talk to Gene on line 2. He's going to go a step further from the government is deleting shows from your TiVo. Hi, Gene. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, man?
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Hey, Lisa May. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
Good.
Yeah, basically, this past week, or a few days ago, I was trying to send an email to a couple of friends of a sick fetish video that I found on the internet.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I send it through Outlook in my computer, and I get a reply 30 seconds later that the following recipients can't be reached. Error message due to content.
Okay.
I'm like, who's checking my email when I send it out?
Well, isn't it possible that your friends have some kind of a setting on their email program that won't allow it?
No. This is from my email server from my internet provider.
Oh, I see. So they stopped it before it got to your friends.
Yeah, they're snooping in my email, man. I mean, basically, I wanted to show these four or five friends of mine that are kind of sick and twisted, and some of them, you know, they're really get shell-shocked.
Sure, yeah. Okay.
I'm
interested in the government conspiracy aspect of this, but you have to tell us what's going on in this video. I'm sorry. Don't tell us who's doing what to whom. Just tell us what participants are in the video. Is it a guy in a Nazi uniform and a turtle, or what? What's involved?
Nah, there's this chick with this, like, gag strap with a tube in her mouth that goes up to a second-story floor.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. Say no more.
See,
no more.
Mike sends
you.
Me that stuff all the time, and it gets there.
It gets through to Lisa.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. Let's bring Sean into the conversation. And he's on line one, and I totally forgot about this news story that is real, that really does support the government conspiracy theory on this that we're talking about. Hi, Sean. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Kevin Bean, Lisa May.
Hi.
Well, yeah, pretty much. I know you've heard the story in the Midwest where there's a school where they handed out laptops to all the kids. And pretty much they remotely somehow turned on the webcam on these cameras to spy on the little kids that are in their homes. They thought that they were doing illegal stuff, something with drugs, so they raided the houses and found nothing of it. And when they questioned how they, you know, get this information, they remotely turned on these webcams. So if
how about that?
Such a small scale. Think about your Xbox Kinect. Think about anything that has a video camera in it. It could be turned on, no matter what. Cell phones, GPS, whatever you're talking
about. Do you envision a scenario? And by the way, he's absolutely right about the webcam story. That's totally true. I mean, a lot of people lost their jobs over that. I mean, they literally turned the webcam on and watched kids in their bedrooms that had these laptops that they brought
from
school.
I'm an Alex Jones follower. I listen to Alex Jones. Yes, some things are far-fetched. But you got to believe that this is an information war. So everything that is out there, they're just trying to feed us information one side to the next.
Okay, but let me just ask you this question, Sean. Let me ask you this question. Do you envision a day, for instance, when you're playing Xbox or something like that, and you're smoking a bowl with your friends or something like that, and there's a knock on the door because they're monitoring everything that's going on in everybody's home as a result of the camera in the game?
Yes. But only to the point where, you know, they're going to be looking for certain people. But just like Facebook, all of that information is categorized and can be used for whatever the hell they want to use it for. And people give up way too much information.
That's why I'm going off the grid, man. That's why
you and me
are going to buy the Unabomber's place out there in Montana. We're going to live out there, man.
He doesn't want to live.
That stuff can be turned off.
That's anyway. Right,
gotcha.
Yeah, the camera can be turned on any time.
All right. Well, listen, I'm not going to be able to finish the show because I got a lot of stuff to do. We'll take a break. Come back with Funny Man Jay Moore right after this on the Kevin DeBean Show. Thanks for tuning into the Kevin DeBean Show Friday. Was it Friday? Thursday? Whatever. Was it Friday we had Jay Moore on?
It was the best day of the week, whichever one it was.
It was
whatever
Friday.
Day it was, it's always the best day of the week whenever comedian Jay Moore is on. And, of course, you can see him at the Irvine Improv this week, January 13th, the Hollywood Improv, January 15th, and then starting January 21st at the San Jose Improv. Jay Moore made some football predictions, and he was man enough to say, hey, win or lose, good or bad, I'll come back on the show Monday, and we'll discuss. Hey, Jay, how are you, man?
Hi, everyone. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Jay.
First of all...
Yeah, I think you confuse everybody when you throw out the dates there, Kevin. Just say Thursday, he'll be in Irvine. It's all you.
All right. Okay, yeah, Kevin. Come on.
All right.
First of all, J-E-T-S, Jets. How about that? You're the man who went out there and said Peyton Manning and the Colts were going down, although it took till the last seconds of the game. You were right, man.
But the Jets have won four games down to the last play of the game. And I had a feeling if they turned it into a street fight and it turned into running the ball, I said if Sean Green and LaDainian Tomlinson each ran the ball 16 times, it's going to play into the Jets' hands. The lower that score was, the better the Jets' chances were. The only game I missed was the one that every human being in America missed that doesn't live in Olympia, Washington. And that was, of course, I picked the Saints to beat the Marshawn Lynch
Super Mario Brothers video game run Seahawks, but that'll end quickly. So that's 3 for 4. If you took all my picks, you would have made a lot of money this weekend.
Yeah, 3 for 4. I mean, there's, that's very respectable.
You picked the Eagles.
No, I didn't.
That's what I
picked. They said Clay Matthews was going to spy Michael Vick and crush him.
All right.
Okay.
I have you pick the Eagles. That's what
we may have to go to the tape here, but I didn't remember.
Both of you are saying I picked the Eagles?
Well, I don't remember. But Kevin wrote him down. That's what I'm counting on.
I have a memory. He didn't write him down. I watched him the whole time.
How dare you?
he was stretching his back.
How dare you?
What was your read on what went so terribly wrong for the field goal kicker for the Eagles on yesterday's game, Jay? I mean, that obviously made the difference. They lost by 5. They gave, they left 6 points out there by missing those 2 field goals. What happened?
Well, the difference between Ryan Howard in Philadelphia of the Phillies and David Akers of the Eagles is at least David Akers misses swinging. That's a very inside sports joke.
No, that was good.
Sometimes you miss, man. But as David Caruso says, well, Jay, you could say Michael Vick is in Philadelphia's doghouse.
Oh,
and then you play the whole thing. You know what I did on stage last night?
What?
I did all my impressions, but I did them all as if they were the lead actor in CSI Miami, and I played the Who after them all.
That's what I like about your shows, Jay, is you never have any clue what's coming.
No, I don't know. There's an old expression, jump off the cliff, build your wings on the way down, gentlemen.
That's right. That's what he does.
Are you sure I picked Philadelphia?
I'm not positive.
Because I was at home going, oh, good, I got the Packer game, too.
I'm not positive. I'm not positive about that. You're looking ahead to
you're positive? Or
I said
not positive?
I'm not positive, Jay.
I remember saying Clay Matthews was going to spy Michael Vick, and they were going to crush him.
Well, Ralph would know. We should bring Ralph in. Ralph would totally have been paying attention to hearing what Jay said.
Ralph's on the other line with he's on the other line with Catherine McPhee.
I would imagine
that Jay has a better memory than I do, and that he has a better memory than even if I wrote it down at the time.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, let me ask you this, Jay, because unfortunately we don't have much time. Although I hear you can spend all the time you want with Jay Moore this Thursday night at the Irvine Improv and Saturday in Hollywood. How far will the Jets go? Because you could
argue this weekend by a lot. That was their Super Bowl.
They lose
that
by
was
a lot.
It. That was the best. Yeah.
Is that the same as Seattle?
No. That was their the Patriots. They're in another dimension of football right now for everybody else in football.
Right.
The Jets beating the Colts, that was their Super Bowl. Rex Ryan's in the post-game press conference going, I finally beat Peyton Manning. I finally beat, you only played him 3 times, relax. And so Jets are going to lose. I'm going to say about, they'll score late to put it within 8 points, but they're going to lose. Bears are going to win. Bears are going to crush the Seahawks. That party's going to be over. Falcons are going to beat, who are they playing?
Green Bay.
Yeah, sorry. Falcons are going to beat Green Bay. And here's the only, I think the only upset I have is Ravens are going to beat the Steelers. But here's the thing, I'm going to tell you why. They're just too physical. It's going to be very close, grinded out. Don't forget, the last time they played, they broke Big Ben's nose twice.
Yeah.
So they're going to play the Steelers, and they're just, I don't know if you saw the, I know you're pressed for time, so. The Chiefs game, it's like watching a pack of dogs being let loose. They're animals.
They are animals.
It's like a jailbreak every snap. And I don't think, well, in that case, literally, I don't think the Steelers have the offensive line to just keep that dam from breaking. Their center is a rookie. He's pouncy. He's a good kid out of Florida. But that wall is going to break. They're going to get to Big Ben. And here's the thing. I'm calling this one, too. The Steelers will lose. But something stupid will happen, like 2 personal foul penalties, giving the Ravens first downs late in the game. They're going to win on stupid. We've had enough of the Ravens' mistakes.
Wow, right. How about that? That's quite a call.
So I got New England, I got the Bears, I got the Falcons, and I have the Ravens.
Okay.
Is that correct?
Okay. There it is. So we're all on the same page on that. All right. All right. I know you think he's only a funny man, tell joke on stage, but if you would have gone with Jay Moore's pick on Friday's Kevin and Bean Show, you'd have won big money because he was 3 out of 4 in the game. So we'll see how you do next weekend. Jay, have a fantastic time in your upcoming improv dates, Thursday night in Irvine, Saturday in Hollywood, and then in San Jose starting January 21st. Always great to talk to you, man. Thank you.
I miss you guys. Thank you, guys.
Ralph Garman joins us every hour at this time on the Kevin and Bean Show with a look at what's going on in Hollywood. How are you, Ralph?
Good.
What's happening?
Every Monday morning, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, let you know what people are going to see. And this weekend, it was True Grit. $15 million made it number one this weekend. A new film by the Coen brothers starring Jeff Bridges. Little Fockers was number one, but it was knocked out at the top by True Grit. It became number two this weekend with $13.7 million. Season of the Witch, in its debut, the new Nick Cage sword and sorcery movie, $10.7 million made it.
Who's
going
to go see that? Anyone?
Going today.
You are?
Really?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Voluntarily, or do you lose a bet?
No, I'm going to go see it.
Because you want to see it?
I sort of wanted to.
I love sword and sorcery movies. I love that stuff. I love witches and dragons and guys with big swords and all that kind of stuff. Dragon Slayer and all those movies. I always love those movies.
So many Nick Cage trailers I see, and I think it's a parody, like from Saturday Night Live or something. I can't believe it's a real movie.
Well,
I hope it's good. Let me know.
Bad reviews.
It's not the movie you're going to see. Oh, geez, I wonder if this will be nominated for the Oscars next year. It's a guy with a big sword, and he's attacking dragons, and there's witchcraft, and it's a big, goofy action film. And Nick Cage does those on top of that like nobody else. He is a guy who can fill the screen with a performance that just matches the ridiculousness of the movies he's in.
All right. It's at 5% on Rotten Tomatoes with positive.
I don't care. I'm going
right
to
now.
See it.
But
how long is this conversation going to go on?
But you can
on?
Like that kind of. But if Kevin were going to see this, I feel like you would be railing on him for saying, "Look, these movies can be done well, but clearly this one isn't. So
no,
don't waste your time.
These movies can rarely be done well. These movies aren't known for being done well. That's the point of it.
Okay.
Dragon Slayer and all those kind of movies. When you have a dragon and a guy with a big broadsword attacking and just sword fights and sorcery, they're rarely done well. They're famous for being horrible, actually.
Okay, well, if you want bad, you got it. Okay, got it.
It's fun bad, though. It's like Piranha 3D kind of bad. It's fun.
But that was good bad.
That was
good
awesome. Bad. But it's done for the sake of just eating your popcorn and watching that kind of action on the screen. There are certain films like that you go to for that reason.
It's a
throwback to all those sort of old Hammer horror movies and the B movies of the 60s and 70s. And, that's
B
a particular
movie
genre.
Just came out like a year ago or two.
It was an animated film or something completely different. Tron Legacy was fourth at the box office. Black Swan was fifth. Country Strong was sixth. See, I'm much more apt to go see Nick Cage be bad with a giant broadsword and a dragon than to see Gwyneth Paltrow be bad with a guitar.
Right.
Singing about how country strong she is.
I don't blame you there.
The Fighter was seventh. King's Speech was eighth. Yogi Bear was ninth. And Tangled, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Lindsay Lohan may not have the best reputation in Hollywood, but she is and does have some very true friends who still support her. One is a gentleman named Pascal Mouawad. He's a jeweler.
Yeah.
And he's a good friend of hers, and he's telling People magazine that she has a positive attitude, and she looks great, and she's going to be a brand new woman.
Okay.
And good luck with that.
And to prove it, he gave her a little gift when she got out of the Betty Ford Clinic. He gave her a 10-carat diamond necklace.
As a gift?
As a gift for completing rehab.
Dude.
That's the kind of friends I want.
Okay.
Give me jewels for doing something I should be doing in the first place.
How long till she sells that for drug money?
That's your negative attitude right there.
That was my first thought.
She's a new woman, and she's going to do fine, Pascal Mouawad says.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Pascal says it.
It says it's got to be true.
What?
The Fonz has a new book. Henry Winkler, who, of course, made television history with his character The Fonz on Happy Days, has now written his autobiography. I've never met an idiot on the river. It's called Reflections on Family, Fishing, and Photography. I'm guessing he's a fly fisherman by hobby, and he's going to talk about the wisdom he's learned on the river.
Okay.
Okay.
You know what he's great in? Children's Hospital. Yes. Have you seen that?
Yeah, he's great
he's
on that
great
show.
On
he's a great
that
actor.
Show.
He's always been good. He had the fortune, the good fortune and perhaps misfortune of being in one of the most famous TV roles ever, and he will always be typecast as that character, but he's always been good, and he can be good in a lot of different things.
He was great on Arrested Development, too. He had a recurring role in that, too.
You can look for it on shelves in May, and apparently you can learn all about the wisdoms that he learned on the river.
Fishing. I'm not inclined to buy the fishing book.
Then, I love Henry Winkler.
Then in the book, he jumps over a shark on water skis and a lot of things. So it all works out.
Right,
it's all very entertaining. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Rod Stewart is 66 years old today. Has a new baby on the way, if I'm not mistaken. Rod does.
Good, good.
With his supermodel wife, Penny Lancaster.
Good, because he's, how old is he?
He's 66.
66. Yeah.
But he's a vital 66.
Yeah. When the kid's 15, how old is he going to be?
He's a robust 66. When the kid's 15, he'll be a robust 81.
No, he'll be a frail 81.
All right. Boxing champ George Foreman is 62 years old today. Kurt Kirkwood of Meat Puppets is 52 years old today. Jermaine Clement of Flight of the Conchords turns 37. Chris Smith of Criss Cross, make you want to...
Did Bean just yell yeah?
Yeah, he sure did.
Very
couldn't
excited
help himself.
To hear that.
Couldn't help himself.
It made my foot
cramp down there
song.
In his ankle every time he hears it. He's 32 years old today, and singer Brad Roberts of Crash Test Dummies, 47 years old today. Hit it, Brad!
That is a much more boring song than Jump Jump. When did he go back and fill in the lyrics on that song?
No, that was it. That's the
that was the song.
Yeah.
That was just the guide track, wasn't it?
No, that's
where he wrote the song.
The actual finished product, right,
all right
there. God bless this CTD. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
I don't know if his age is finally starting to get to him, but Regis Philbin, who, as you know, Kevin, I love. He's one of my favorite people in the whole wide world ever.
I don't understand that really, but all right.
He's got to be in his 80s now. He's got to be really, really getting up there. He's taking a little bit more time off of his daytime syndicated Regis and Kelly show than ever before. And they're starting to look for fill-ins. And apparently,
you know how we knew this? Do you know how we know this? Right. Bean watches that show.
I do love that show.
Regis and Kelly every day.
I do love that show. Seth Meyers from Saturday Night Live was filling in for Regis today, and they revealed, I guess today was a big day, I didn't even realize it was coming, but they revealed the top 10 finalists of the Men of Radio promotion that they have been advertising, where they're going to actually pick somebody who's on the radio across this great land of ours, and that person is going to get to be Regis for a day. So that person is going to get to go to New York and host the live nationwide show with Kelly.
And you make that sound good.
I think it sounds like a blast. Not for me, maybe, but for Psycho Mike. Psycho Mike's name is on the list. He is one of the 10 finalists of thousands of people who wanted to do it. He's one of the 10 that now we can vote on.
You want to do
and
it?
Send it to New York.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts, yeah. I totally would do it. I'd love to do that.
What's Regis and Kelly?
I don't understand why you find it so odd that Bean likes Regis. Regis is pretty dope.
He's a fantastic
no, entertainer. No, if you think about it, for a guy, especially for a guy his age.
Look,
I mean,
I don't hate him.
Right.
I just don't. I find it hard to find any passion about him.
Right, but for the same reasons that you hate Al Roker and all these other like douchey guys that are, you know, and they just do all the cheesy, you know, cheesy stuff there. Regis has steered away from doing any of that for a long time. He's always consistently been a really good broadcaster. He's
likable. Take it easy.
Do you ever see Regis when he's a guest host on Jimmy's show or on Dave's show or something like that? He's hilarious. He's such a funny guy.
Okay,
and
right.
Muscular and handsome.
Take you asked, Kevin.
I know, but for God's sakes, where do you work up this much energy from? You know what I mean? Like, how do you get that passionate about him?
Because if we had if we had a thousandth of the talent that Regis Philbin has, then we'd be happy.
That'd be great, but we don't.
He's the man. So anyway, so he's taking more time off is my point, and they've come up with a promotion to fill the chair for a few days, and I think this is very big news for our boy Psycho Mike, who is now a top 10 finalist. They announced it on today's show on the Regis and Kelly Show without Regis.
The time has come to announce the top 10 for our Men of Radio co-host for a day search. We've received thousands of nominations. Which probably mean
ten.
And the top 10 are...
And by the way, you're going to find out one of the reasons I hate shows like this. And it is the audience.
Yeah.
The audience drives me out of my freaking mind because
they're overhyped.
They scream and clap and holler like crazy for everything.
That's a really good point, because they're not winning a trip to Australia. They're just sitting in a room watching a chick read a list, right? How excited can you be for
right.
that?
Put yourself in their shoes. If you're coming into New York City from out of town, you're already overwhelmed by the Big Apple, and then you get a chance to like go see a live television show.
Right,
like,
but then they start naming radio guys that they don't know.
I know, I'm just trying to.
And like, they're cheering like they just won the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Bert Weiss from Q100, Atlanta, Georgia.
And who are the... Who are those girls?
Maybe they're from Atlanta. Maybe no, Bert's their favorite show.
They're the same girls for every single one of these.
That's Bert's mistress.
Yeah.
Bobby Bones, 96.7 Kiss FM, Austin, Texas.
Here she is. Bobby Bones, dude.
I wouldn't mind losing to Bobby Bones.
Bobby Bones kicks your ass.
Johnny Magic, XL 106.7 Orlando. Yeah.
Johnny Magic wins, too.
Johnny Magic, I love it.
Kid Craddock of the Kid Craddock in the Morning Show.
Same applause. The guys, who's the guy being that's filling in today?
It's Seth Meyers from Weekend Update on Saturday Night.
I love it. I love it. Every single person that they mention, he goes, I love it.
He has no idea who they are.
Come on now.
And it's funny, you guys call me Psycho Mike, and yet I think I have the most normal name out of all these guys.
Yeah, compared to Johnny Magic.
Dude, you might be Bobby Bones.
Bobby Bones.
Come on. Yeah. If you could be Bobby Bones, wouldn't you?
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Mike Catherwood, a.k.a. Psycho Mike. Los Angeles, California. He might be trouble.
Yeah.
Woo! Mike Greenberg from Mike and Mike in the Morning. Yes!
You lose.
Yeah. A lot of mics.
A lot of mics. Yeah. If one of the mics of Mike and Mike in the Morning are in, you lose.
Okay, I agree. Now, we were just talking about that.
Yeah, because they've got a big national passionate audience, and they do a lot of stuff. I have not been really paying attention to how this whole thing has unfolded at this point. What? What are you saying?
You pay attention to everything they do. Oh, Regis is on. Oh, I've got to go watch Regis.
No, I love Regis, but I'm saying in terms of this competition, I don't know the nuts and bolts of it. So they had thousands of people apply. They narrowed it down. And then at some point, Mike, they got in touch with you and said they wanted you to kind of make it was not enough to just have your name on a website. They wanted to kind of see what you look like and how you sound. And they had you make a video?
Exactly. Yeah. They, I don't know, maybe 10 days ago, someone from Live with Regis and Kelly called me up and asked me to send over a headshot and then like a 30-second video just explaining why I'd be a good choice.
And so, we happen to have that.
Hello, my name is Mike Catherwood, and I feel like I should be the co-host for Regis and Kelly because no one looks like Mark Consuelos more than I do.
All right, I don't get that.
That's funny. That's Kelly's husband. He's a soap opera actor.
He's kind of like a debonair Latino, and I figured, hey, why not play that up?
That's a great angle, by the way, because Kelly loves the pretty boys.
And I hear that Kelly's a big fan of that Consuelos fellow, and also no one's a bigger fan of Regis than I am. I've modeled my whole life after Mr. Philbin.
How have you modeled your whole life after him?
I'm so close.
How have you modeled your life after Regis Philbin in one way?
10 years ago, I used to wear monochrome tie shirts.
You're such a liar. You're a liar. You've modeled. You think Regis lights his farts on fire? No.
No, but secretly I do.
No,
that's another reason why I love Regis. I think that behind closed doors in the bedroom, he's an animal.
In fact, I'm like a younger, swarthier Regis. You could call me the Mexican Regis. So do the right thing. Do the right thing for the red, white, and blue, and choose me as co-host for Regis and Kelly.
Wow. That is an impassioned plea.
Well, so, it's funny because I said in the first one. No, I totally would like to do this.
No, I'm saying it sounds to me like you could care less.
That is a reworked version, and it's very hard for me to be myself because I sent in an original version, and I said, not voting for me is like joining Al-Qaeda.
Right, that's funny.
Right, and they called me back. They're like, funny, we like it. We can't put that on our website.
Are you kidding?
So this is kind of like a more sanitized version. So I apologize if it seems disingenuous.
Okay, how long do we have to vote? When do they make a decision, and then what happens after that?
I believe voting ends the 16th of January, and you go to Live and Regis.
That's this weekend.
Yeah.
Well, not much time.
Their website.
Their web, I think it's Live with Regis and Kelly or LiveRegisandKelly.
And you can vote, and then if you get on the show and you host it, you are going to light your fart on fire. That's going
to
happen.
That's a promise to you, Kevin.
That's a promise. Now I'm going to go vote.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman joins us. Time for another look at the show biz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Congratulations to Psycho Mike for that Regis and Kelly thing, by the way.
Isn't that exciting?
I'm going to go vote.
Are you?
Oh, maybe. I got nothing else to do.
Can you hear all the hate for everyone involved coming from our man Kevin there? Hates Regis, hates Kelly,
it's
hates
not a
Mike,
good show, don't get me
hates
wrong.
America.
No, I didn't hate.
It'd be good for Mike. It's not a good show. Don't get me wrong.
I don't hate. I just, I don't care.
I think he's confused by your overwhelming adoration for the Regis and Kelly
show.
That's
the thing, is your level of excitement is not supportive.
not supportable.
Because Regis is one of the legends of broadcasting. He's a national treasure. That's why.
My list of national treasures and yours are very different.
Speaking of not supportable, when the original list first came out, they had like 100 names on it.
Right.
There were a lot of names on there. My name, was, for example, on there.
Right.
And I guess people just have to throw your hat in the ring. I don't know who did it for me, but apparently just anyone can nominate you.
Right.
So the minute it came out, Beam was like, oh, vote for Psycho Mike, vote for Psycho Mike. And some people tweeted me and said, wow, Beam really doesn't like you. You're on the list, too. And I was like, yeah,
maybe he didn't
okay.
know you were on the list. Fine. Yeah. I didn't know he was on the list.
Oh. Because numbered list full of radio people is absolutely something he would ignore,
you're
Kevin.
Right.
You're right. Like, he didn't go through that list with a magnifying glass. Oh, Larry Morgan's on there from the Saturday. The only people Bean cares about are people who work in radio. So I'm sure he didn't comb through that list with tweezers.
I understand.
A set of bifocals.
I understand what you're saying, and I
no,
I
grant, you don't know, care I, about radio people
no,
or lists.
I grant that you're understand why you would think that, but I'm going to tell you the actual truth that what happened is that they announced that here's the list of finalists for the Regis and Kelly show. I opened up the list and I scrolled down alphabetically to see if Psycho Mike was on it, and then immediately sent out a tweet to say congratulations to Psycho Mike before I looked at anything else on the list. I had
I'm
no
sure
idea
that's
that
what
you
happened.
Were even
I'm absolutely
didn't even
sure
know that you were
out.
On the list
because you don't care for lists. Or radio people, so I'm sure you spent no time at all looking for
it. This is the difference between you and me. Is
I
that
understand.
You could have given me $1,000, and I wouldn't have known what it was
not.
Or where to find the list or what the list
not.
Meant. None of
it. I didn't know it until people told me Bean wasn't supporting me in it. I didn't even know I was in the competition until they told me Bean didn't want me to win.
And that's
the first I found out about it.
I didn't know that you were in the competition
I'm gonna
either.
I'm going to tweet, don't vote for Ralph.
well, it's too late now. They can't that's vote true. For me, but I just thought that was hilarious. I didn't know that until people told me Bean wasn't supporting me in it. That's how I found it. I thought it was funny. All right, let's take a look at the top 10 moves of the box office, shall we? True Grit was number one at the box office. $15 million made it. So, if you haven't seen the film, I really recommend that you check it out.
It looks too westerny for me.
A lot of hats.
A lot of hats in that movie.
Horses, guns.
A lot of horses.
It's quite westerny.
Little Fockers. No horses or hats whatsoever in this film, so it is horse and hat free. You can check that out. It was second at the box office, $13.7 million. Season of the Witch, the new Nicolas Cage movie, $10.7 million. Tron Legacy was fourth, then Black Swan. Country Strong came in country weak at number six this weekend.
Nice
the Quattro movie. The Fighter was seventh. The King's Speech was eighth. Yogi Bear and Tangled rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend.
You know what I saw? My wife took me to see
so movie this weekend?
What'd Blue Valentine.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And
really?
I wanted to hang myself from the rafters.
Mike said exactly
it's a lot
that
of fun,
same thing.
Huh? I wanted
it's
to feel
good movie of the year.
It is great.
Would you call it a chuckle fest?
And I was bummed for 12 hours. It really is a downer.
I said, if you're recently engaged and thinking about getting married, don't not only go to this movie, don't go to a theater it's showing in. Don't even be in the same theater.
Don't get near it?
Yeah.
Or if you're just average on the depression scale, it'll put you right over the edge.
Those are what I call the matinee movies, because you have to have the sun out when you come out of that film. And then you need to immediately go get a nice frosty cold beer and listen to some polka music or something.
I'm a really positive person, and I was bummed for a long time.
Yeah.
And by the way, I have to ask this, because Michelle Williams, who's a tremendous actress.
Yeah, she might shows get another, a lot. Yes, she does.
She might get another Oscar nomination out of this one. She's a great actress. But hasn't she had enough darkness in her life with her fiancé dropping dead at 25 or whatever to stay away from movies like this? Like, what's attracting her to the dark side so much?
Sometimes it's a way you can just vent that stuff. You can work through it, through your work. Sometimes if you're an actor and you go to those dark places, it helps you manage them.
Because she had that other one last year. Remember where she was homeless and it was just her and her dog and she was out there just
yeah.
trying to survive?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just nothing but bummers from this chick.
Remember Dick? She was in Dick.
Well, that was happy and fun.
Never mind.
That was pre-death.
That wasn't too it wasn't too fun for Richard Nixon, I'll tell you that much. It was a downer for him. He didn't have a good time in that movie.
I'm just saying, Blue Valentine, you might want to just, I don't know, take some pills before you go.
That's your recommendation
meth.
For everything, Kevin.
Meth. Something
you always
to keep
say
you
take
up.
Some pills before you go.
I'm just saying it might kill you.
Well, here's something you can take some pills before you listen to. Britney Spears has a new single out. It's called Would You Hold It Against Me? And it is as good as anything she's ever done.
It is.
Yeah. I think
if you like Britney Spears songs, you'll like it.
You'll like this. Here it's.
Wow. She's got a
the new vocal coach.
Certainly is a dance hit, that's for sure. It's got a good beat to it.
Now, here
so you're
the
tired of the other one, yeah, but this one...
I forgot I had number two. I forgot that. That'll last me all year.
Oh, we got another one. Would you hold it against me? If I said I wanted your body now, would you hold it against me?
Very
meaning,
fresh.
It's got a double meaning. Would you hold it against me? It's like, would you resent me for saying that? Would you literally hold your body against me if I said that?
I think we understand.
See what the conundrum is there? I don't know which way to feel about that song now. She's so deep. She works on so many levels. Sad news for Mustang owners everywhere.
Really? That's yes. In the showbiz?
Yes, it is.
Are they discontinuing the banana yellow like your car?
It's Grabber Orange, first of all. And secondly, no, director of the legendary film Bullet has passed away.
Oh,
Peter
wow.
Yates, who directed Bullet. If you've ever seen Bullet with Steve McQueen, one of the great cop films of all time, featuring maybe, to this day, they still consider it maybe the best car chase sequence ever in the history of cinema. And in that car, Bullet is his name. He drives a bitchin' Mustang in it. The reason the Mustang really kind of blew up and took off. A lot of people were buying the Mustang after that.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
He also directed Breaking Away.
Honestly, Ralph.
Breaking Away.
This is worse than Blue Valentine, the story.
Oh, have you ever seen Breaking Away?
No.
It's a great film.
Okay, I'm just saying. You're doing a story about a...
He passed away.
All right.
We do that all the time.
I'm just saying.
Play a little funny song. Play a funny song. You feel better. Play a little piece of a funny song.
That will make me feel better.
There you go.
Sorry, that's what I need to keep my attention.
It's okay now, Kevin. It's all right.
Take some more pills, too.
Get something flashy for Kevin to look at while I keep talking. Would you please? Zac Efron and Vanessa Hudgens are back together again.
Stop it.
Yeah, they're back together. They had split up, and now they're back together.
I thought you'd be bummed, Bean.
I just am excited every time we get a chance to talk about my sweet Zach, but what's the story? What happened?
Yeah, by the way, all those dings were for Zach.
Absolutely. Yes. They were outside a Los Angeles nightclub on Friday night, making out. Us Weekly caught them there, and they were reunited, enjoying their evening, according to onlookers. So, glad to see those two crazy kids are working it out.
I'm glad they're reunited.
Don't
say how it feels.
Don't do it.
Don't talk about how it feels.
Don't you do it.
Do not get how it feels.
Don't do it. I'm telling you, don't do it.
I couldn't even pull it off.
It was so bad, I couldn't even say it. I couldn't even get into the file.
Good. Move on. Quick, Ralph. Quick.
And there had been rampant rumors that Glee was planning on doing a Justin Bieber-themed episode. However, the Hollywood Reporter says that is not true. He says those are reserved for artists with big catalogs like Madonna and Britney, the producer of Glee says. Ooh, no you didn't. Now people are going to try to threaten to kill you via tweet.
Yeah, his followers are nutty.
However, there will be a Justin Bieber song featured in an upcoming episode.
We have a clip.
Cord Overstreet will be singing a Justin song to Quinn, played by Aunt Diana Agron. And apparently he's trying to win her back by singing a Justin Bieber song to her. Want to hear the clip of the Justin Bieber song?
Please. That's his best work, I think.
I think so, too. Eva Longoria is going broke. Well, maybe not personally, but her restaurant, Beso, is. She's got one here in L.A. and another one in Las Vegas. And the one in Vegas is $5.7 million in debt.
Ouch!
Wow.
Dude.
So she's filing for bankruptcy.
Why so soon?
How far in debt do you have to get?
She wanted to make sure she really was in debt before she filed. Apparently, they're going to try to keep the restaurant open. You know, sometimes you'll do that. You just kind of restructure your debt via bankruptcy and try to keep the business afloat. And apparently that is her plan. Mm. In fact, she's just shot a brand new photo spread featuring the restaurant with her in lingerie.
Oh, that ought
to
work.
Trying to get people to check out the restaurant. So we'll see how that goes. Look, if she's not in there
in
panties
the
while I'm eating, then I'm not going to go to that restaurant. That's my deal.
I'm with you.
She should work. She should work as a hostess or something.
That would do it.
In a robe and bra and panties and just take me to my table.
Is that code?
And then give me a little appetizer, you know, sir? No, sir?
Yes. Appetizer.
Yes, we do.
You know.
You're not helping. I think everyone can fill in that, too.
No. Speaking of appetizing, Heidi Klum, Marissa Miller, and Miranda Kerr.
What?
or some of the angels of Victoria's Secret, well, they better you know, get a little Botox, maybe lose a couple pounds. There's a new crop in town.
Is there?
Victoria's Secret just hired 3 new angels for their campaign: Lily Aldridge, Erin Heatherton, and Candace Swainpole.
Oh, nice.
I'd like Candace show her my Swainpole.
Candace is winner. Lily Aldridge is right. Candace Swainpole is winner of the world.
But hasn't she been?
She had been appearing in the magazine. Yeah. I guess to be like an angel, you have to be certified.
One of their spokesmodels certified that they feature in all their campaigns. Yes. So they've just announced adding those 3 lovely ladies to the campaign. So congratulations to them. Now those old, ugly broads, Heidi Klum, Marissa Miller, and Miranda Kerr can just retire. We are done with you. We are so done with you. It's hard to even get an erection anymore when we masturbate with you. Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Chris Smith of Criss Cross. Make you wanna... No, that's not right.
It's the only one Mike's given me.
Give me some Criss Cross here.
Okay, some Criss Cross.
Chris Smith is 32 years old today. I'm assuming he was Chris, right? The other guy was Cross?
Right. That's right.
Okay.
Is he Daddy Mac or Mac Daddy? I don't know.
What about Christopher Cross? Was he in that band at
all?
Yes.
No.
Should have
been.
Jermaine Clement, actor and musician from Flight of the Conchords, he's 37 years old. Kurt Kirkwood of Meat Puppets is 52 years old today. That is not an easy name to say, by the way, Kurt Kirkwood. I've been working that all morning and I finally got it right. George Foreman of boxing fame is 62. Rod Stewart is 66 years old today. And Brad Roberts, lead singer for the Crash Test Dummies, celebrates his 47th birthday today. Sing it if you know it.
Could you ever
along?
Did that pass as a song?
Once there was a boy who had a real deep voice, but he just hummed when he sang songs. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, we have 3 hot women for you. We have Elizabeth Mitchell from V.
V, by the way. V has been so strong coming back in this next season.
We have Emma Rossum from Shameless. Yes. Mm-hmm. And we have the very beautiful and talented Daniel Tosh.
the prettiest of all.
Oh, she's something else. She's so good.
She is pretty for Tosh.0. So that's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't go away. Cat Corbett's up next. Speaking of beauty, with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including the latest from a band called Middle Class Rut. Stick around to hear some new music here on K-Rock called New Low. Also, Metallica coming up, Black Keys, Linkin Park, and more. Straight ahead right after this on K-Rock.